you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You ever hear of Kevin and Bean?
Yeah.
You like them?
I think they're the bomb.
How could you know so many specific details? That is amazing.
Learn how Britney got her $1 million smile.
Oh, I had one retainer. It was really gross because it was one retainer. It was like a one. You know how you have the top retainer and the bottom? But it was one. And you put it in so you really couldn't talk. And it had a key and everything that you put in it to turn it to tighten it every night.
What are you talking about?
There's an old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once. Shame on you. Fool me, we can't get fooled again.
How come y'all won't just leave a brother alone?
This is fun! I think it's gonna work out!
Yep.
Yep.
And now.
Our feature presentation.
You know who I miss?
Who?
Sebastian the Crab.
I don't know what this song is.
This is Under the Sea from Little Mermaid, isn't it?
Hold on, you'll see.
All right.
The music's jumping, the sound is hot. The rhythm makes me want to move.
William Hung.
So come on in and feel the groove. I kiss you on a trip today and then into the night. Cause feeling screws a way of life.
How did this
a way
happen?
Of living right high. Dance through the rhythm. Let your problems go away.
How did this
dance,
whole thing
dance,
happen?
I think that Calypso really is William Hung's milieu. That's where he always belonged. That was the problem. He was trying to do pop, but he should have been doing Calypso the whole time.
Whoa.
Sorry to spill a bunch of coffee
on Mike.
Yeah.
It's a good start.
Well, it's not the way you want to go, but all right.
How does he hear that and go, yes?
Well, I understand how he hears
good.
That.
But give me a selection of songs to sing
it.
From. Oh, yes, that's the one for me.
But I think a lot of people, when they're singing it, they think it sounds okay.
Yeah, but then when they play it back.
Then I think they hear it right. But other people
Lisa,
that aren't singing it.
Lisa, you know there's an infinite number of people who just have no self-awareness when it comes to their lack of talent.
Right, but everyone around them has to know.
Yes.
Like, everybody around William Hung had to know at the time that that's a joke.
Right.
Yes.
Except for William. Yeah.
But how did that happen? I don't know, because that's what I would do if I were in charge, and that's bad. You know what?
That's a good point.
Even his fleeting amount of fame, he was, you know, white hot for 3 minutes where everybody was talking about him. That was all inexplicable to
yes.
me.
Yes.
Do you think he made some good money?
He probably did. You know, not a lot, but if he saved what he made. He
yeah.
was doing a lot of personal appearances
was,
and, you
right?
know, opening
shopping
malls, yeah, and singing at the, you know, minor league baseball games and that kind of stuff. He might have probably made a few bucks.
We have a K-Rock listener, Gene, on the line. Gene, what do you think of William Hung?
Hey, Gene.
I'm in Chicago for Lost Loser.
No, that was Kevin, Gene.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Did you lose your key card?
Hey, is that a new William Hung song? Is that from a new album? Or
I've never heard it.
Bean's upset because there's something on CD that he doesn't own.
I'm concerned that I missed one.
No, I think you probably have it. It's Miracle Happy Summer from William Hung.
I do have that one.
Yes, I thought you would.
Miracle. I need to give that another listen then, because that was outstanding.
Oh, and it's there.
Oh, this should be our theme song. I love LA.
And all the people dressed like monkeys. Let's leave Chicago.
Chicago?
To the Eskimo.
Where's Chicago?
Chicago.
I just came
that
from there.
That town's a little bit too rugged for you and me, you
Ready
beggar.
You gotta know the recording engineers and everybody had to be laughing through this whole thing.
Wet in their pants.
You said Chicago.
Chicago. Too rutted for me.
Rolling down the Imperial Highway.
I sing.
My big nasty red head by my side. Santa Ana's winds blowing hot from the north. And we were born to ride.
Come on.
Roll down the window. Roll down the top.
Today we're going to play William Hung all day.
The Beach Boys, baby. Look at the music stop. We're gonna ride till we just can't ride no more.
Can't you see William Hung in a convertible on the highway?
hot
babe by his side. Wind blow through his hair. Driving poorly.
like they're wanting to do.
Stay in your lane. Turn your turn signal off. All the time. Looks like another perfect
day. I love L.A. I love L.A.
We love it.
Oh, he shouts it too as well.
He does.
Good stuff. I love that.
Tot, you going to go out and get it?
I got it, man. I got it.
Oh, that's right. Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday, the 7th of...
August. The sound effects on the phone now?
Bean's on the phone today.
Psycho Mike screwed something up.
Oh,
no doubt. Mike. No doubt. He's the man in charge with hooking you up on the big satellite, the K-Rock satellite, right?
All day long today, I've been doing nothing but trying to get Mike's attention. He's sending me the wrong signal. He's hosing me left and right today. I think we have. I think we brought in some more qualified help that's working on it behind the scenes, so hopefully I'll be...
Would you say that Psycho Mike is sabotaging things more than or equal to normal?
He's on fire today.
Is he on fire?
I don't know what's going on with him today, but I'm not pleased.
I think I can tell.
One small detail going wrong in the connection between two far-off studios, I understand how it's all my fault, but you're right.
Well, you know, Mike usually sets up the controls so that we can hear each other.
Right.
This morning, you know, he's just feeding me nonsense, and he won't adjust it right. He's just been doing everything he can.
Yeah. Nothing's ever Mike's fault, by the way.
That is true.
No.
We do blame him for more than is his fault, but he defends himself as if there's never a possibility that something could be his fault.
He accepts responsibility for a lot less than we blame him for.
I'm
so
furiously typing up notes on the screen for him that he's ignoring. I mean, it's just one thing after another with this kid today.
Yeah,
he's probably excited about the Brett Favre trade. That's what's got him rattled.
What about that?
I didn't hear what happened. Where'd he go?
It's final. He's going to the Jets.
The Jets.
J-E-T-S. Jets, Jets, Jets.
Wow.
What an idiot.
It's so funny because we talked about it yesterday, and I got a ton of emails from Tampa Bay Buccaneer fans saying, "You're an idiot. It's a done deal. They're going to announce it today. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about." Because I said there's a possibility he'd go to Tampa or the Jets.
Right.
So it turns out he's going to be in New York.
Most of the email that we get from people saying you're an idiot is false or wrong or somehow mistaken.
True. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the way it usually works. Wow, he's going to be a Jet. That's weird.
So, Ralph, how are the Jets? Does he have the possibility of winning anything with them?
They had like a 4-12 season last year.
Yeah.
So he won't be too hard pressed to do better than they did last year. But the AFC is just such a hard conference. I don't see them even getting to the playoffs.
Really?
There's just so many much better teams in that conference. So.
And what will Green Bay fans think of him now? Will they root against him? Will they hope he does poorly with the Jets, or they love Brett and will like to see him, you know, win another one?
Obviously, it would be much easier for them to root for Brett because he's not only in their division, but not in their conference. So, you know, I think they would love to see him do well. I really do.
As long as Green Bay doesn't do poorly, I would guess.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
If Aaron Rodgers really sucks this year, then they're going to be just furious on both sides. But
yeah. Bean, try talking to the mic now. I think we may have solved
the problem. Oh, really? Let me put the phone down.
I think we may have solved the problem. I don't know. You know who we got working here.
Yeah, really.
This is going to be very exciting.
Yes!
Do we have some Bean Baxter there?
A little bit better? Not good?
Not at all. Can't hear you at all. Not in the least bit.
It's like you're talking into the tube of history.
It's not even close.
It's so weird that I hear you fine. And
You're very weak. We hear you, but just very weakly.
Just like you're in another room.
I turn it way up like this.
Mm. No.
And then it breaks up.
That's not helping at all.
That's quiet and distorted.
Well, that's Mike for
that's
you.
That's good work.
That is Mike for you.
All right, let me tell people about today's show. Lizzie Goodman is a editor-at-large at Blender Magazine, and she's going to tell us about MIA. Terrorist? Not terrorist.
Terrorist? Not terrorist. I can save you time on that break right now. Terrorist.
Based on?
Everything I know about her.
Those paper airplanes that seem to be attacking bridges.
Correct.
That. Greg Grunberg on the show today. He, of course, on Heroes. He's a cop on Heroes. He's also in a band called Band from TV that is going to be performing live.
Can't wait for Heroes to come back, by the way.
I know. When is that? September?
Yeah.
Is that when everything's coming back?
And the trailers, you've seen the commercials, looks very exciting because they're introducing a bunch of bad guys this season.
Oh, fantastic. CEA spokesperson Jim Barry will be in the studio.
There's
new gadgets. We always try to steal those.
And so far, not successfully. We're not very good.
But there's a girl that faints at any emotion, and she has narcolepsy.
Dude.
She's a winner.
She rules.
How much of her day does she spend unconscious, do you think?
Just flat on the ground?
I can't imagine.
Between narcolepsy and passing out at any emotion, she must go through her day.
Even joy? Like, even when she's happy, I wonder if she...
I heard excitement, embarrassment, laughter.
I wish I could marry her.
Yes, I know
perfect
you do.
For you.
I think we're all thinking the same thing.
It's the next best thing to being married to a corpse.
Internet roundup today.
Yeehaw!
The debut of the Kevin and Bean Instant Request today.
Oh, interesting.
And yesterday, Ralph did a list of the top 10 worst songs of all time.
It came from Spinner.com and AOL Radio. They compiled a list of the top 10 worst songs of all time.
And I think we're going to try and zero in on our own top 10.
Because we didn't like that list.
There were two or three songs on that list that were ridiculous. But I think, you know, seven or eight were pretty good, actually.
For the top 10?
Not too bad, yeah.
Okay. What?
As far as lists go. Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Who Let the Dogs Out? That's a horrible song.
Yes, I know. Okay. But you said seven or eight were pretty good.
No, he meant
two or three were bad.
Oh, two or three were bad choices to be on that list.
That's what I meant.
I thought you meant seven or eight of the songs were pretty good.
No, no, no.
In spite of the fact they said they were bad.
No, seven or eight of their choices out of the top 10, which is a lot.
Yeah,
for
we're pretty right on.
Pretty right on.
Yeah. Why is it that the guy that we can hear is the guy that we can't understand?
We are going to take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat next. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Come on, Ralph, what's going on?
Interesting developments in the Morgan Freeman story about his accident. Apparently, we found out from his doctors that Morgan is doing well after surgery to fix a broken left arm, a broken elbow, and some shoulder injuries that he sustained Sunday night in that auto accident. That's bad.
Elbow is always bad.
Elbow is bad, because you know what happens? You need to bend your arm.
Yeah.
Quite often when you go through your day. And if that's not working right, that would suck.
Turns out that's painful.
He's going to have to wear a neck collar for at least 6 months while he recovers. So,
one of those like dogs wear so they can't lick themselves?
So doesn't bite his stitches out. No, I think it's a cervical collar to keep his neck immobilized. So it could have been worse, but all things considered, he's got some healing to do. However, the interesting part of the story is we found out yesterday that his wife of 24 years, Myrna, had filed for divorce prior to the accident.
Is that right?
So Morgan Freeman is getting a divorce. Now, the interesting thing is he was in the car with a woman much younger than himself. He's 71. The woman in the car was 48. However, no one thought anything about it because apparently this woman had been a friend of Morgan Freeman's and his wife for many years.
Right.
Especially his wife. Now people are speculating maybe she's the reason that they're getting a divorce.
Didn't we hear a week or two ago something about him with a family friend? Or am I confusing
him with
someone
else? That was the accident, I think.
No. The family friend was in the car when they had the wreck.
Yeah. No, but a couple of weeks ago when we heard that he might be getting a divorce. Unless I have him confused with someone else.
I don't know of anybody who knew that he was getting a divorce until yesterday. USA Today broke the story yesterday. Unless you're psychic.
She could be. Are you psychic?
I don't know. Maybe I'm confusing him with another celebrity who slept with a family friend.
Yeah, because I remember when Ralph did the story about this accident, and Ralph said, oh, it was a good friend of his wife's, and everybody was like, okay, well,
thought they were just, you know, traveling together because they're pals. Well, turns out they may be more than pals, and maybe the reason why Myrna, his wife of 24 years, has filed for divorce. You're still getting a little strange at 71, Morgan. Good on you, by the way. He'll quickly, my friend.
He looks like he can do the job.
You're my new hero.
Is that right?
He does.
All right.
Dina Lohan is battling with Anderson Cooper. Have you heard about this?
No. What would he battle with her for?
Coop was sitting in for Regis.
Okay.
On Regis and Kelly. And I saw the footage, and he's actually very good in sort of a talk show format. You wouldn't think a news guy would be particularly glib, but he went on a tirade about how he had watched a few episodes of Livin' Lohan.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And went off on the whole family.
Which he should have.
Yeah. Yes.
He said that the 14-year-old Allie Lohan looks about 60 on the show, and that she allegedly wants to be a singer, or an actor, performer, or maybe a striptease person, he said. He said Dina is pushing her daughter into the limelight. He did about a five-minute chunk on how bad the show is. Well, of course, Dina Lohan just can't let anything go. So now she's done an interview where she said people are just cruel. And that this will be very bad karma for him. Oh, she's threatening him with the karma.
No, she's not.
I don't think it's bad karma if you tell the truth. So I think Coop is he's off the hook there.
If you're going to do a show and open up your family to this kind of stuff and then object to it happening,
especially yourself.
Idiot.
Yeah. Well, don't
It's funny. Kelly Ripa said, well, it's obviously they're a very talented family. They all sing and dance and act, and they've got a lot of talent. And Cooper just den-panned her and went, oh, that must have been one of the episodes I missed. It was actually very funny. But Dean has gone after Anderson Cooper. I would pick Anderson Cooper in that battle.
You betcha.
I would pick anyone against her, I think.
She's so horrible. By the way,
We don't talk about it much. I think it's because she's on sort of such a lame-ass daytime talk show. That Kelly Ripa is hot.
Oh, yes.
She is.
I love her.
I just heard. Hello.
God's talking to me. Bean.
How did that happen?
Are you guys hearing me?
Yes,
and it sounds right. It sounds
good.
Dude.
Well, first of all, it's the power of Kelly Ripa because, Kevin, how many years have I been lusting after her? I love her so much.
A long time, but most of us...
Bean's boner has cut through the static.
That's correct. That's exactly what it is.
Most of us don't watch that show, though, but Bean loves Regis.
And I do see it. I flip through it, and I go, oh, this goddamn show. And I just pass over... I gloss over her spectacularness because the show, I think, is weak.
Yeah, she's pretty hot.
But she was on Letterman this past week, and man,
adorable.
She is... She's just bulletproof. She's like buff. She obviously works her ass off.
Yeah. She's way ripped. Yeah, that's the best thing about her. She's ripped.
She
eats a lot of whey
like
protein.
20 kids, too. That's what's unbelievable about her. Like, how does she look that good when she has, I mean, she has kids every 9 months in one day. She has another baby, too.
She's had three litters. That's what I just got. She's got like 27 kids. That's right. Yeah.
That's what it is.
But she's in super shape, and she's beautiful and just tanned and just looking good.
And thinks the Lohan family is very talented.
I think she was trying to smooth things over because Cooper was going so overboard to just tear them down.
I don't think he was going overboard. I'm telling you
I don't either.
That family, that show, bad in every way.
Yeah.
So. I love that he said she's 14 and looks 60, though. I love that.
Yeah, because, you know, Allie's just crying.
Yeah.
I want to see her cry so bad in person. I want to do something to make Allie Lohan cry. I don't know why I hate her so much, but I just want to see her cry. Does that make me bad?
I don't know.
Jennifer Aniston has a big year ahead. OK Magazine is reporting that she will be getting married to John Mayer.
Really?
Finally, Jennifer Aniston has landed herself a man. Now we can all just exhale.
Because that's going to work.
Yeah. Apparently, it's going to be the opposite of the $1 million reception she held after tying the knot with Brad Pitt. It seems so long ago, I forgot they were even married. You just don't think of Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston as a couple, but they were like the big Hollywood couple for a long time.
I hate to be catty and suggest that the reason Jennifer Aniston is in the news so much right now and on the cover of a bunch of magazines right now is in some sort of competition with Angelina Jolie and her baby pictures.
Really?
But it does seem weird that she's not really doing anything, yet all of a sudden there are all these rumors like ramping up about her maybe getting married. It almost seems like her camp is trying to steal a little bit of the spotlight from the new Mrs. Pitt. That's all.
Well, according to the magazine, it's going to be a very small event. Courtney Cox will be the matron of honor. Coco Arquette, Courtney's daughter, will be the flower girl, and just a few friends, apparently.
That John Mayer is a serial monogamist, so I can see how that's going
to
work.
He does nothing but dedicate himself to one woman, so I think they have a big, big future together. Star Magazine is saying she's pregnant already with his baby.
Really?
So, keep watching for the baby bump. No, that's my motto. Michelle Williams and Spike Jonze seem to be getting serious as well. Michelle Williams, of course, formerly with Heath Ledger. And Spike Jonze, of course, formerly with Sofia Coppola, right? Weren't they a couple for a long time?
Right, they were married,
Apparently they are headed towards the matrimonial state as well. So People Magazine says they were spotted recently at dinner. And things look very serious, and there may be a ring involved sometime soon. So keep your eyes peeled, if you care.
Brown?
Not a brown ring, a diamond ring, a wedding ring, an engagement ring.
Clarification, that's all. I didn't know.
Michelle Williams, man. Body's not even cold yet, and she's already going after somebody.
Well, you got to move on.
Well, I guess by now it probably is cold, right?
It is.
Yeah, it's probably
cold. They were already divorced.
Quite.
Okay, all right. Well, okay, then she can go do it. And Scarlett Johansson in the news a whole bunch because she's got that new movie coming out this weekend.
Yeah, that's hot.
Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
I don't know much about this movie.
Is the new Woody Allen film where she is in a threesome with Javier Bardem and Penelope Cruz.
Wow. Who doesn't fit in that threesome?
And there's another smoking hot British chick, another actress who's also in the sexual mix as well. Apparently, if I get the story right, Javier Bardem picks up Scarlett Johansson and her... A girlfriend who is traveling abroad with her picks them up and brings them back to his house, and they have a three-way.
Fantastic.
But then the British chick gets spooked, and she leaves, and Penelope Cruz is Javier Bardem's either ex-wife or ex-girlfriend. She comes back into the picture, and then they have a threesome.
Wow.
So, Javier, do we have that right? Does that sound like the right word, Javier?
You got that right, friendo.
And then Javier apparently blows their brains out with some sort of air compressor or something. It's all very dark.
I saw him. He was flipping a coin.
Yeah, it's very dark, this film. Woody Allen now, by the way, I think is just making porn for himself.
I was going to ask, aren't they just going to talk? If he wrote this, aren't they just going to talk and talk?
No, they're going to hump and hump.
All right. I'm in then.
The chicks were Asian, then I'd really think it was personal porn, but I think it may just be mainstream porn now for the Woodman. But he's like in his 70s or whatever. I think he's just making stuff to see if he can get an erection.
It's funny, because of his reputation, so many actors and actresses want to work with him, so he could almost get them to do anything, because they just will trust him, because he's Woody Allen.
That's why it's good that Scarlett Johansson's in this one.
Anyway, the reason I bring that up is because Scarlett Johansson, while talking about the film, also reports that her fiancé, Ryan Reynolds, is a huge star in his home country of Canada.
Okay.
He's considered a prince amongst his people. TV host who is... the Canadians, you know. A TV host who was interviewing her said she may be receiving a crown made out of beaver or moose for their wedding day.
Wait a second.
What?
Did you say
apparently it's some sort of Canadian tradition that
a crown of beaver?
You wear a crown of beaver or moose.
Didn't the guy wear that?
This may.
Hey, Gene Simmons stopped by. Hey, Gene.
Love to try on your crown of beaver if possible.
Crown of beaver, by the way, I think played a Lollapalooza.
They did. They were great.
Scarlett said she loves Canada so much she is very excited about becoming a citizen, which will mark the first time anyone has ever applied for citizenship of Canada.
Yeah, no kidding.
Nice beaver.
I know it's worked the other way for many years, but I don't think everyone's ever gone down to the consulate and said, I'd like to become a Canadian citizen, please. How do I go about it? They looked at each other and went, what? Oh, we've never had that come up before. I don't even know if we have a plan in place for someone to become a Canadian citizen.
You're forgetting after the 2000 election, there was quite a northern migration, Ralph.
Yeah, but even those people just lived there. No one ever bothered to actually become a citizen. Ridiculous.
Today's sounds like the beaver had quite a day.
Today's celebrity birthdays are on my desk, I think.
In the other room?
In the other room.
Yeah, I don't see
so if you anyone can hear me, you might want to bring those in. Yeah, the only one I care about is it's Charlize's birthday.
Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, that's all that matters.
Yeah, that's the reason I wanted to talk about it. Whatever. You got David Duchovny, Harold Perrineau, Wayne Knight from Seinfeld. Charlize.
Yeah.
Turns 33 years old today, and I love her so much. I love her more than I used to love her when I used to love her.
I don't know that that's possible.
It is possible. I love her the most, and I know she listens on occasion from time to time, and sometimes the people around her listen and relay what we say. So if you're one of those people, or you are, in fact, Charlize Theron, girl, holla! Holla back. And happy birthday, and I guess you'll be celebrating with the speed bump, so have a good time, I guess.
Suck it.
That's right. Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
He did what? Because he's a what? A homeless hiker. Went through a park at Foothill Ranch in Orange County and came home with a lot of stitches. He says he wanted to pet the cute little mountain lion cubs. What?
I saw the little three babies and I walked up and I wanted to say hi. And then here come mom and she whacked me in my arm.
They're out looking for the cougar and the kits, but those who treated Kevin Lassiter aren't sure he had scratches from a mountain lion. But it's his story, and he's sticking with it. And why did he do it?
Because I'm a Leo.
Oh. At Victoria Park in Carson, they were having the Samoan Flag Day celebration. Gangbangers opened fire and wounded three. Then a security guard shot and killed one suspect, and another got away. A firefighting helicopter crashes in Northern California. They fear 9 on board died. 4 others were hurt. The Olympics are just beginning. Before arriving, President Bush did the mandatory human rights statement.
America stands in firm opposition to China's detention of political dissidents and human rights advocates and religious activists.
China said, mind your own business. Well, Packer fans, Brett Favre is now a New York Jet. Dodgers lost, Angels won. Once again, 70s through low 90s. 68 at K-Rock, I'm Doc on the...
Yesterday, Ralph did a list in his showbiz beat of the top 10 worst songs of all time. And a lot of these lists come and go.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's let's face it, there are more bad songs than good.
Sure.
By far.
And a lot of them were hits.
And a lot of them were hits, unfortunately. Yeah.
And that's what's difficult about these lists. That's why you'll never have a definitive list that everybody's going to agree on, because obviously a lot of these songs on the list that you may consider the worst song of all time were number one records for many weeks because other people don't.
Right, but they're bad. I think it's that's our conclusion.
But it is always fascinating to kind of look and think about the songs that you hate the most and why and which ones didn't make the list. And then sometimes, you know, like there are a couple songs on this list that I will stand by as not being awful. Like, I'm not going to hate You Can't Touch This. I'm just not going to hate it.
Because you still do the parachute pants thing?
No. This is kind of fun.
let's hear the top 10 and then we'll discuss.
Yeah, we'll take your calls, and then we're also going to open up the Afro line today for your suggestions for the worst song of all time. Number 10 is My Heart Will Go On by Celine Dion.
My heart will
don't know why she's fingernails on a chalkboard to me. I think
I remember that song from Titanic, so I still get a little choked up.
Because of the movie.
Yeah.
There's something about the way she oversings and she means it too much. And
She does oversing, for some reason,
that drives me crazy.
Yeah. I understand that because she does have pipes. There's no question that she can sing.
Yeah, she has a nice voice.
It's what she chooses to do with it that I think that irritates us so.
Yeah. So that's number 10. Number 9, I think we can all agree.
Yeah, I don't ever need to hear that again. Ever.
Right?
No.
That was about 10 years ago that song came out, and it sold over 4 million copies the year it came out.
And that's the other thing about this list. And as you call with some suggestions of your own at 1-800-520-1067, or you call the Afroline later today, it does have to reach, I guess I would say number one. Don't you think, Bina? Are all these songs number one?
All these songs are massive hits.
Huge hits, for sure.
They have to be huge hits that everybody knows. It can't just be some song that you heard one time.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it, 9 out of 10 songs on a CD you probably have never heard.
Right.
There's one great song. They play it on the radio. Sometimes there are other songs that radio doesn't play. I don't want to get that idea. But they have to be songs everybody kind of knows.
Okay.
So you got My Heart Will Go On, Celine Dion. You got the Macarena. Then you got, boy, I'll tell you, if you haven't heard this song, Paul McCartney and Stevie Wonder. Ebony and Ivory. It's a song about the keys on a piano.
That's right.
It has deeper meaning, Kevin.
Because some of the keys are white and some of the keys are black. I'm not kidding, by the way.
They're layers
just like
here.
People.
And,
exactly.
And they live together in harmony. Why can't we? are you kidding me?
Ebony and Ivory live together in perfect harmony.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah.
That was kind of the beginning of when Paul McCartney started writing only for third graders, and he has continued.
Yeah, that's just an absurd song.
Bad.
That has a special place in hell, I think.
they should take away his Beatledom for that. They should say, you know what, Paul, you weren't in the Beatles because of Ebony and Ivory.
You've got to work your way back up to it.
That's right.
Number 7, Right Said Fred, I'm Too Sexy.
I'm too sexy for my shirt. Too sexy for my shirt. So sexy it hurts.
That was my ringtone for a long time. I
See,
found that funny.
That's a great song to discuss because is it awful or is it just stupid? I mean, is it bad or is it just dumb? See, that's a tough one for me because
well, it's both.
I think it accomplishes – it's not like Right Said Fred went into the studio and said, we've got a great song here. They knew they were goofing around. They knew it was stupid.
That's what
they
I think.
They were just having fun.
And we'd use it to make fun of people if who they're really
being,
think that.
Yeah. Yeah. If they're being goofy, it kind of doesn't fit on the list.
Yeah, I agree
right.
with that.
Because to me, that's the equivalent of, that would be like saying, that'd be like making fun of Zoolander. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because he's goofing, obviously. And it's the same thing for that. So I don't know that I'd put that, not that I ever need to hear it again, but I don't think I'd put it into the top 10 worst songs of all time.
If he's not goofing, it needs to be number one.
Sure.
Right.
And he needs to be slapped down. Here's a song, I think it was from the early 70s, and it was just a women's anthem.
Oh, no, not...
Helen Reddy.
Not my Helen Reddy song.
I am strong. I am
invincible.
I am woman.
That's a great song. Yeah. I love that song.
Did you say great?
I love that song.
Wow. That's offensive on every level.
It is. That's
the best.
Stupid Lisa.
Number 5, I think, is one that we take issue with. I don't know that number 5 needs to be on this list, considering all of the other bad songs that are out there.
It's such, and this is you can't touch. I told you, homeboy, you can't touch this.
I don't think it should be on there.
With Hammer Time. I really am.
So that's number 5. Number 4.
I'm a Barbie girl in the Barbie world.
Yes. Yeah, there was that period of time, there was a lot of that Scandinavian pop with bands like that coming out that were just annoying.
That's Aqua, Barbie Girl.
Yeah, that's the kind of song that made me hate stations like Kiss FM because they were playing songs like that all the time.
Were they playing number 3, Ricky Martin, She Bangs? Yes.
She looks like a flower,
but she stings like a bee.
What the hell does that mean?
Number two, I don't think should be on the list considering all the other great songs that are out there. It's, well, it's Vanilla Ice. I mean, it's not good, but.
Check out the hook while my DJ revolves it.
I think you could still put that song on at a party, and I think most people would enjoy it. Now, they might tell you they're enjoying it ironically, but I think people like it.
But the problem with this guy is, you know, he meant it. Like, he was,
yes.
He thought.
I understand why you hate him. I understand. I can totally understand that, because the guy was a tool. Absolutely.
And he was serious when he did this song. It wasn't trying to be funny.
Right.
So that's not good. And then the number one worst song is the Baja Man. The Baja Man. And
who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good guess right there.
That's an awful song. I mean, if that's what we're talking about.
Well, yeah, that's the top 10 worst songs, yeah. But there's so many others. I mean, how do you make this list?
Yeah, no kidding.
How do you even begin? So let's start with Armando in Baldwin Park. Good morning, Armando.
Good morning, guys.
Hi there.
Yes, probably my worst song has to be James Blunt, "You're Beautiful."
Oh.
Yeah, that's pretty hateable. That's pretty hateable. Here's a little clip of that song.
You're beautiful, it's true.
Yeah.
I saw your face.
Okay, sing like a guy. Sing like a guy. And then
listen,
we're supposed to believe
that voice.
We're supposed to believe that guy was in Special Forces, right? That's the guy that was killing people. No,
yeah, that's
let's
pretty
talk
bad.
Let's talk to Nick in HB. By the way, his song that he's going to suggest is actually number 17 on this blender or this spinner list of the worst songs of all time. So he's in simpatico with the writers.
This, by the way, to me, top three. This to me is one of the, if not the worst song of all time. Nick, hi.
What's up, guys?
Hey,
Lisa May.
Oh. It's morning moan.
What's your suggestion?
That Billy Ray Cyrus and the goddamn achy breaky heart.
Oh.
Somebody shoot him in the middle of the forehead, please.
Here you go.
Don't tell my heart, my achy breaky heart.
Yep.
Yeah, it's awful.
That is not good.
I'm with you.
Thank you for the call.
Who would have ever thought, by the way, that he would survive that and become respectable again?
Remember when Kevin was going to try to cut his mullet off?
Yes, I do. Kevin sat behind him at what, the Grammys?
The Grammys. And I was calling people like, I'm behind Billy Ray Cyrus. What would happen if I cut off his hair? Seriously, what would happen? Could I get in trouble? Would I get arrested? What would happen?
Dude, you should have done it, but it probably wouldn't have been worth it because it probably would have been some sort of assault or something like that. But God,
assault on a hair?
Funny.
Can you assault hair?
Well, I guess. But, I mean, he single-handedly brought the mullet back. I mean, he really did. And there was no excuse for that and certainly no excuse for that song. I got to agree that one should be on the list.
All right. We need to take a break. But what we're going to do is we're going to take your calls on the Kevin and Bean Afro line all day today.
That's a great idea.
If you have a suggestion for the worst song of all time, call the Afro line 323-520-AFRO and leave a message and tell us why you hate it. What makes it so offensive to you?
Okay.
And then we'll try and pull the clips and we'll update this list as we go throughout the morning this morning.
Will we offend you?
Yes.
Okay. Maybe someone will suggest one that was clearly missed, something that we all agree should have really been in the top 10. But so we're not going to take any more calls here live on the show right now, but you can call the Afro line at any time this morning. 323-520-AFRO. Tell us the song they missed. And then we'll air it later this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. 323-520-AFRO if you want to leave your suggestion for the worst song of all time that's not on the list. By the way, via email, far and away, the number one is Disco Duck that people are writing in with.
Sure.
Disco Duck has got to be on the list.
Oh, yeah.
That's a perfect example of an oversight, I think, on that list. I think that you could have swapped out the hammer and put in the D's and I'd have been happier.
But what they might have done is not had novelty songs. I mean, novelty songs kind of are their own category. Aren't they?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe so, yeah. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. It is Thursday morning. We have something called the Internet Roundup that we want to fill you in on.
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
When we do the best songs of all time, let's make a note to put that one on it.
This is a site at the Kevin and Bean page. It's Internet Roundup. You click on that, and then there are a bunch of links to our favorite stuff online. The Paris Hilton commercial is one of them. I don't know if you saw the John McCain commercial about Senator Obama.
Yes.
But it had Paris Hilton in it and Britney Spears. And they were talking about how he's a celebrity, but is he right to lead the country, blah, blah, blah. Well, Paris Hilton on Funny or Die fires back. Of course, not her own words. That's what makes it funny. But
hey, America, I'm Paris Hilton, and I'm a celebrity, too. Only I'm not from the olden days, and I'm not promising change like that other guy. I'm just hot.
You got to see the whole thing. It's the best work Paris has done since the Night Vision sex tape.
It's really the only work she's done since then. The Conan O'Brien show has triumphed the insult comic dog.
Mm-hmm.
And he was at Comic-Con. And there is about 7.5 minutes of him just insulting all of these people at Comic-Con, most of whom are wearing outrageous, you know, ridiculous costumes.
Do they have a sense of humor, those people?
It turns out most of them do.
Oh, good. Really? I'm surprised.
But he really mocks hard. I mean, the first guy is dressed up like Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, no, you're a Battlestar Galactica guy. Here we go. Set your phasers on, loser. I love these people. For years, I used to love reading comic books. Then I turned 7.
Play Pokemon.
Oh, yeah? There was a huge line for people to play Pokemon. There's an even bigger line of people waiting to beat the out of you.
He just takes on one person after another and just mocks them hardcore.
Nice.
And it's very funny. It's worth watching the whole thing. He also gets up and gives a speech in front of a whole auditorium.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he mocks Kevin Smith as well. Bean, tell me about the Larry King tape. What the hell is this?
This has been floating around. I don't know why it just came back out onto the internet on Gawker.com recently, but this is a piece of tape from a live phone-in show that Larry King, long before he had the CNN program, was a radio host. And for about 25 years, he did an overnight radio show where he had guests and took callers. And I guess he's at the end of a very long month. He says at some point in the tape that he's worked 30 nights in a row, and a young man interested in getting into the field of journalism calls up and asks for Larry's advice. And you listen and decide whether Larry is just tired or if maybe he'd been drinking a little bit too.
I'm a student of print journalism, and I just wanted to know what advice do you have for young people coming up into the field? For instance, experience, is that important?
Sure.
Is that probably the most important element?
Well, it's way up there.
Anything else?
Pressure under fire. Mm-hmm. Done this before. I don't want it to be his first surgery.
Okay.
Applied himself well.
Sounds like if the kid doesn't keep talking, Larry is going to doze off.
Yeah.
These are things I'd have confidence in a young MD.
Huh? Okay. I'm talking about journalism field.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
The journalism. Like, I'm a student of journalism at a college, and I was just wondering the most important aspect of getting into journalism, not the medical field. I think you're exhausted from 30 nights.
I am exhausted from 30 nights. No person, even those of us who are superhuman, those of us with Herculean appetites for the diverse and the bizarre, right, even those of us who have shown an aptitude to fight the good fight and stay the good long battle, even those of us can get tired. And your boy is tired after 30 consecutive nights. I have a half hour to go, and I'm going to do that half hour because I'm a pro. That's what pros do. I'm a professional. Look it up in the book.
Okay.
That's what we do. We're pros. We're never rude. We don't cop out. We don't tell you that we're ill or that we're looking for the farmhouse in the middle of the desert or that we're parched. We don't tell you that maybe the check didn't come through this month and where the hell does it go anyway if you're a guy who's left 16 forwarding addresses.
What in God's name is he talking about?
I don't know,
but he lost me at the farmhouse in the desert.
Okay.
So what do you do? What is the answer? Yeah, you're a little perturbed now. Kind of worried about the club.
What?
Don't worry about the club. Worry about maybe Jackie might worry. Nah, don't worry.
What does that mean, don't worry about the club?
I don't know. That must be in the same... The club, I think, is next to the downtown that Doc always refers to. I don't know.
Okay, just... cool it. Life is a breeze. Of course, some breezes, as you know, are 110 miles an hour and get promoted up the hurricanes. I just thought I'd pass that along. Speaking of pass it along, we're going to pass along now to the newsroom, the Mutual newsroom, high atop the overlooking downtown, beautiful downtown studios of Wallace, Virginia, Washington, D.C.
This is a mess.
That's the best. He is way drunk.
I know. I love Larry.
The guy who called him who's not drunk goes, I'm not trying to be a doctor. Right. Like, he totally misunderstood his comments.
And then he was going, okay.
How did they take a radio show away from that man?
And give him a TV show on CNN, where now he's crazier than ever. I love him. KROQ.com, Kevin and Bean page, and then Internet Round. Time for the regular Afro line, 323-520-AFRO. That number right now, today, we're using for the top 10 worst songs of all time.
Yes.
So if you've got those, that's the number you call, along with why you hate the song. And we're going to play back your comments throughout the day. This is the regular Afro, though. Any topic is fine, including perhaps the looks of some movie stars.
Hey, you've noticed Seth Rogen looks like Fozzie Bear.
A little bit, yeah. I see that.
Speaking of Seth Rogen, by the way, who we love, 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 and is currently appearing in Pineapple Express that opened yesterday. I'm watching Donnie Darko over the weekend, and of course, no one knew who Seth Rogen was back then, but he's one of the guys that chases down and beats up Donnie Darko.
No,
he's
kidding.
In that movie. I'm like, hey, that's Seth Rogen. What the hell is he doing?
That's funny.
I had no
idea.
It's
so funny when you see a guy that you know now as a big star, you see him in a movie like that, and you don't even realize he was in it.
I don't know what this next guy is talking about. I can't even make sense of it.
What the hell? Nobody told me the Olympics are starting. NBC really needs to advertise for that.
The Olympics are starting?
Yeah, apparently so.
They're in China.
Why wouldn't they tell people?
I don't know.
Huh. Yesterday we were mocking people who had rabbit ears for their TV.
Yeah.
In concert with telling the networks that I think message received, people who have the ears are fine, they get it, you don't need to tell us for another 6 months that February 2009, blah, 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 blah.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, I will have you know that I have a rabbit ear antenna for my TV, complete with aluminum foil wrapped around the tips for better reception. For my I Love Lucy on Saturdays, Simpsons weekdays, and Family Guy weekdays. So don't knock it, Don't knock it.
She sounds pretty pleased with living in 1960.
And, that is correct.
Yeah, well-rounded.
Mike kissed the boy, and he liked it. Taste of my hairy black...
I did, in fact, kiss a boy this week.
You did?
His name is Samuel Mnation, also known as Samuel...
You did?
The Armenian comedian?
Yes.
I just thought I'd throw that out there. Oh. I did, in fact, kiss a boy.
Well, nice choice if you're going to do it.
He's not just a boy.
Oh, did you get a contact high?
No, but it was one of those things that no matter how much you brush your teeth and wash your mouth out with mouthwash, you still felt dirty.
That's never going to go away, by the way. That's lifetime.
I pray that Kevin and Mike... wake up in bed one morning together. Oh, God. Mike, shut up.
Wait a minute. You hate Mike, so I got to be in bed with him? Why is that? How's that work?
I don't know.
Mike, is Kevin your type, or would you not? Because I was just thinking as he was describing that you'd be okay with it and Kevin would hate it, but now I wonder if you would be okay with it either.
Yeah, he's strapping and tall, so
okay,
I dig him.
All right.
I'd bring it, you know? I would bring it. That's all I'm saying.
Would you wreck, Mike?
Apparently, we got a message from God, and I was not aware of this. Maybe somebody should have tipped us off.
Kevin, this is God. Kill yourself.
My question to you is, if God were to call the Afro line, would he sound like this?
Kevin, this is God.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say not at all, no.
Hey, Kevin Bean, I just wanted to say thanks, because ever since this debuted, I can't get it out of my head.
DJ Omar Khan.
DJ Omar Khan.
DJ Omar Khan.
DJ Omar Khan. All day at work.
DJ Omar Khan.
DJ Omar Khan.
You're welcome.
Remix.
This is a great topic that this guy brings up, and I think we're going to have to do it in the next few days.
Hey, can you guys do a topic on secrets you should have never told your friends? I have a friend, and he told me that his wife and child were out of the house, and he was flipping the stations, and they ended up watching the Traveling Pants movie.
The Traveling Pants movie.
Oh, no.
Okay.
That's the one where there's four girlfriends, and there's one magic pair of pants that they send to each other?
They take turns wearing them.
So this guy watched it by himself and then told his friend more than just that he watched it.
Then he told me that he cried. And I'm not sure what I was supposed to do with that except mock him mercilessly. And now that the sequel's coming out, of course, I've done nothing but mock him about that. So, yeah, I thought that might be an interesting topic.
It's well, a great
doing
topic.
The right thing.
Yeah. And for starters, you cannot be friends with him anymore.
By the way, we forgot to mention when we were talking about the Internet Roundup, there also is a link to the Eva Mendez commercial.
Oh. Yeah.
The one you'll never see on TV.
The one you'll never see on TV.
Eva Mendez obsession commercial. Oh. Definite nipples. Oh, Eva. Oh.
All right.
Oh, Eva.
All right.
Yeah, it's clear as a bell.
Well, not clear as a bell. I mean, it's questionable.
Clear as a nipple.
And finally, she hosted the Teen Choice Awards. And I'm guessing this is the first guy that's ever said this openly.
I'll go ahead and say it. Miley Cyrus, 15 years old, white pants, takes it up the I'm not just a-man.
Dude.
Yeah. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Bee. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, you know, from time to time, I like to give people a chance to be on television. We get a lot of casting notices here, at least I do at the station. And from time to time, I want to give people a heads up about it. If you're interested in being on a TV show, here's an opportunity. This opportunity is for good-looking fat girls.
Really?
Let's face it. How many times have we run into people, just in life, how many times do you run into a girl, and she's just a stunningly beautiful girl? And, you know, it's that old joke. She's got a beautiful face.
Yeah.
Too bad it's surrounded by 250 pounds of flesh.
Is it a Leonard Nimoy photo shoot?
Oh, stop it.
What was that?
No, this is, in fact, a new TV show on MTV that is finally doing what we've always wanted to do, which is turn fat girls into models. It is called Model Maker, and it's looking for beautiful women who, mm-hmm. through the help of personal trainers and proper nutrition, will go from flab, to fit over a 3-month competition. And then the winner, the chick who loses the most weight and gets into the best shape, will be given $100,000, a contract with a modeling agency, and a runway gig with a celebrity designer.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So this could be the incentive somebody needs out there to
right.
get it together.
But then you're going to reward them
you're
with a
good-looking broad, but you carry a little too much junk in your trunk, and this is your opportunity. They will take you and mold you and beat you down and strip you bare and build you back up again and make you into a
to
model.
To be a runway model, you have to be really thin.
Then they're going to give you $100,000 so you can eat yourself to death.
Oh,
again.
Stop it.
You
no,
don't want
by
to give
then
fat
you,
women
you will
that
have
much
learned
money.
All the important lessons you need to learn about mental and physical
parse
health.
That out over a long time, small amount per month.
Think if how you're, much cake you could buy.
If you're a young lady between the ages of 17 and 24 and your height is between 5'9" and 6 feet, send a recent photo of yourself, headshot and body shot in a bathing suit. If you can find a bathing suit to fit you,
put it
on. And then send those photos to mtvmodel@madwood.tv. mtvmodel@madwood.tv.
Fat girls, fat.
If you don't have a pen handy, you can send me an email and I will give you the information. But it's for a new show on MTV called Model Maker.
Here's some chocolate, Fatso.
This could be your chance, ladies, to become a model. And if you do become a model, and you become a supermodel, and you get smoking hot, you know who you have to thank for it.
Mm-hmm.
Your old pal, Ralph. That's all I'm telling
And how do they thank you for that?
We'll work something out. Sarah, Vanessa Hudgens.
Yes.
Don't act like you're interested in her, Bean.
Yeah, please.
Can't have it both ways.
I just, every day I sit here waiting for Ralph to announce her death so that Zach will be single.
Oh, Jesus. She's sad, Vanessa Hudgens.
Oh, don't make her sad.
I didn't make her sad.
She's not allowed to be sad.
What are you talking about?
Why can't she be sad?
Because she has Zach and a lot of money.
Zach, for God's sake.
And a TV show.
Well, screw the money
that's
in the TV
why
show.
She's
What's
sad.
Going on with her?
She said that she and her co-stars cried after filming the High School Musical 3 graduation scene because they realized that they would never be working together again. And well, until a few years from now when they're all at Arby's behind the counter.
May I help you?
She said apparently she was inconsolable when they filmed the final scenes and she's having a hard time moving on. That's so funny because I cried when they announced they were making High School Musical 3.
You did, I remember that.
So it all ties in together because I was incredibly sad that they're still making those freaking High School Musicals. God damn it.
And they're hugely successful.
I know.
Saw her at the Teen Choice Awards, but she's turning into quite a beautiful young woman.
Vanessa?
Yeah.
What was she before? Some sort of dog?
No, I'm saying she was, you know, cute,
always
but real
hot.
Young.
Always
but
good
I'm
looking.
Saying she's going through that phase now where she's going from a cute girl to a really hot woman.
How about a reality show about a reality show?
Yes.
It's only a matter of time.
Only yes.
The snake has begun to eat its tail. Los Angeles Times reports that Stephen Anton, who produces the Pussycat Dolls show, who wants to be a next Pussycat Doll,
right,
wants to begin filming a program about what a pain in the ass it is to live next door to Lauren Conrad of The Hills.
Did you hear her neighbors are protesting?
That's
now?
What this is about.
Okay.
Not interested!
He wants a reality show about the neighbors who have a hard time living next to Lauren Conrad in The Hills. Lauren says she tries to be as respectful and conscientious as possible, and she thinks her neighbors are making a mountain out of a molehill. But, he wants to do a reality show about the people who are upset about living next to a reality show star. Come on! Okay. Great God.
So their complaint is just the trucks and the TV
paparazzi,
crews and everything.
Paparazzi all and production stuff and everything.
It's going to go like this. What do you hate about it? That's sure loud and noisy.
It's hard to live next door to LC.
And then pause, and then they'll go.
Next week on Living Next Door to LC. Damn, this is really annoying.
It's going to be a 30-second show.
On a special episode of Living Next Door to LC. damn it. You know, I love the collectibles.
Yes, you do.
I talk about these quite a bit when they go up for these big Hollywood memorabilia auctions. And I mentioned one where they were selling a whole bunch of cool stuff. I've finally got how much stuff went for.
Okay.
Some of the things you might be interested to know how much people were willing to pay for certain items. The T-Rex head from Jurassic Park 2. The full-scale giant T-Rex head. The head of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. Where are you putting that, by the way, when you buy it? Is that going in the rumpus room?
Going to the kitchen? I don't
even know what that is. It's like a den. Back east, we used to call the den the rumpus room. I don't know. I have an idea what the rumpus was. But what? What are you giving me the finger for?
Because don't call it a rumpus room.
Well, I'm saying it was the rumpus room. Anyway, the full-scale head of the Tyrannosaurus Rex went for $54,000.
Dude.
Well, if you can afford that, you can afford to build a room.
I guess so. Ben Affleck's Daredevil costume.
Come on.
Went for $57,500.
No. Okay, now it's bogus. There's no way.
Look, things are worth whatever people are willing to pay for them.
No.
The Daredevil costume went for over $57,000.
No, it didn't.
Michael J. Fox's hoverboard. From Back to the Future,
okay,
2 and 3.
Okay.
$63,250.
Unless it hovers.
It doesn't.
That's not a good buy.
It's just a skate deck with paint on it. But it was in a movie, so people are willing to pay for it. The full-scale animatronic Velociraptor from Jurassic Park 3, $69,000.
So somebody got a full-scale
that'll scare the kids at Halloween.
Velociraptor for the same price that somebody else paid for a skate deck.
More or less.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But the big winner for this most recent auction was an original TIE fighter miniature from Star Wars A New Hope, the model they used in the original Star Wars movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a miniature TIE fighter. You know what the TIE fighter is?
No.
It was the spaceship that had the round center and then the flat kind of wings on either side.
Right.
That they were used. This is the model that was used in the filming of those battle sequences.
And how much did that get?
It went for $402,000.
Jackpot.
$402,000.
Half a mil.
Almost half a million dollars.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine?
No, I can't. How big is it? Like 4, 5, 6 inches tall?
I'm guessing it's probably about a foot. You know, they're miniatures.
Oh, well, that's worth it.
I mean, as long as it's a foot.
$402,000.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Lightning bought it. That was the weird part. Today's celebrity birthday is John Glover. You know him as Lionel Luther over on Smallville. He is 64 years old today. He's a real good actor. What? Why are you buzzing him?
I'm sorry, who?
John Glover.
And he's who on what?
He's Lionel Luther on Smallville. On the CW.
You don't like that show?
You don't
show?
Like Smallville?
You don't like him? He left?
I have no idea who he is.
You don't like 64-year-olds?
There's only one birthday I'm sure he cares about.
Wayne Knight from Seinfeld. Newman, 43 years old today. David Duchovny, our pal from The X-Files and Californication on Showtime. He is 48 years old today. He's good looking for 48.
He sure is.
Yeah.
Man, he hasn't, well. He hasn't aged at all. Harold Perrineau from Lost and Oz. He's 45 years old today. He looks good because black don't crack.
Sure.
We know that. And the day we all celebrate every year. Miss Charlize Theron celebrates her 33rd birthday today. I would like to give Charlize a gift.
Uh-oh. I'm sure you would.
Oh, get your minds out of the gutter.
What?
Is it man, please?
You know, I love her more than anyone has ever loved her before.
Suck it.
And so I just want to wish her a happy, happy birthday.
You love her more than the guy she's with, would you say?
More than Speed Bump?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just
using That's her. Your gift, though, is you're just wishing her a happy birthday on
no,
the radio?
No, I'm giving her all my love, which you can't, it's priceless. You can buy a TIE fighter from Star Wars for $400,000. My love? Priceless.
You can buy for a lot less.
No, you cannot. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
First, it's time for a new feature.
Listen up, everyone.
New instant.
Make a request.
Instant request.
Instant request.
Wow. Sounds almost professional. Let's welcome K-Rock listener Mark to the show. Hey, Mark. Welcome, man.
Hey, guys.
Mark is an occasional emailer to us at Bean or Kevin at krock.com. He and his wife, Catherine, listen out there in Newport Beach. And Mark, you had a great idea for us yesterday. We want to give you the opportunity to present it on the air and see if we can help you out.
I just thought that Tommy Lee might be able to use a little help from Spencer, maybe on his show, since those guys seem to operate at about the same level.
And you're suggesting
maybe they team up, and maybe Spencer could be the green dispenser or something, and help Tommy out, try to figure out how to, get a little greener.
Listen up, everyone!
New instant.
Make a request.
Instant request.
Instant request.
Well, let's see if we can make that happen for you here, Mark. Do we have Tommy Lee on the phone? Tommy, are you there right now, sir?
Yeah. Hello.
Say hi to Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Tommy. How you doing?
Yeah, bananas, man.
All right. Spencer, do we have you on the phone?
Yeah. Hey, what's up, Chief?
Say hi to Mark.
Mark. Mark, hey, what you weigh, brah?
101.
Oh, perfect. All right.
Yeah. Now, Spencer, I don't know if you heard what Mark's suggestion was, but Tommy Lee is on this new Battleground Earth or whatever it's called, this new reality show that's eco-friendly, and he was suggesting that maybe you need to hook up with Tommy and help make Tommy more green.
Yeah, okay. I mean, you know, being green is what it's all about. In life, it's good to be green, and green is cool.
Okay.
Tommy, what do you think about that?
I'm like thinking about life is like a box of chocolates. Who should eat them? Rip.
Spencer?
Well, you know, if you're going to get chocolates, most likely you should get them from the Dolce Group because, yeah, I got reservations. You want to go with me?
Bananas.
Now, you guys are both Hollywood celebrities. Do you ever run in the same circles? Is it possible that you have met before?
Yeah, I was at Koi the other night, and I was eating some sushi, and it was ripping. I was taking some Jaeger shots and stuff, and Spence dog cruises up, and he's like, Tommy, rock and roll for life.
And I'm like, yeah, hey, Tommy, you know what I'm saying? Where'd you get those jeans, kid?
Oh, these are Monarchy, I said. And they've got studs and some zippers in inappropriate places. Yeah!
And I was like, get him a kitten. That's right, Chief.
Yeah!
Well, Mark, we're all about making our listeners' dreams come true. Was that the beautifully cerebral conversation you were hoping for when you suggested it?
That's exactly it. It's like magic.
Fantastic.
They're made for each other.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the first of our Kevin and Bean Instant Request.
Listen up, everyone.
New instant.
Make a request.
Instant request. Kevin and Bean.
Instant request.
Tommy, thank you.
Yeah.
Spencer, thanks a lot.
What up, Chief?
First, Ralph did a list yesterday from Spinner.com and AOL Radio. It was the 10 worst songs ever. My Heart Will Go On by Celine Dion, Macarena, Ebony and Ivory, I'm Too Sexy, I Am Woman, You Can't Touch This, Barbie Girl, She Bangs, Ice Ice Baby, and Who Let the Dogs Out was number one.
Okay.
And we're taking your calls all this morning on the Kevin and Bean Afro line at 323-520-AFRO with your suggestions of songs that maybe should have made it into the 10 worst of all time. And I'm not sure you people get it.
Really?
Why?
Are we
like
having some problems?
Digital Underground,
Humpty Dance to the dance.
No
the
way!
Dance to the hall.
So now I'm gonna do my dance.
The Humpty Dance is a chance to build a hump. Come on.
Come on.
Oh,
how's that 10 words?
Damn. How are you going to hate on the Humpty? Come on.
You may not like rap, but how's this in the 10 worst?
50 cents in the club.
Think you'll find me in the club. Bottle full of bub. Mama, I got what you need. If you need to fill a bar.
I make it rain every time I hear that song.
I can understand some of these songs. I wonder, Kevin, if people just got tired of them because they're
burnout.
All massive hits.
Yeah.
And you heard in the club, it was on the radio for 2 years straight. You couldn't get away from that song. And I wonder if some of it is that. Like, if you'd heard it a little bit less, maybe you wouldn't hate it so much. I wonder.
How about this one?
The worst song ever is the Faust song, Feist or whatever. One, two, three, four.
I mean, I can see not loving that song, but it's pretty inoffensive, isn't it?
No,
not to
I
that
could
guy,
see it being
I guess.
Really damn annoying.
Yeah, let's do it back now.
Yeah.
I don't think it holds up now. And we played it like 2 months ago, didn't we?
Yeah. I can't believe you missed out. Chumbawamba, I Get Knocked Down.
I get knocked down.
That's another one that I wonder if the burnout factor is so huge on
and
it.
And the repetitive factor?
Well, it is pretty repetitive. Ralph will agree with this. This is a whole genre of music.
I gotta say, by far, the worst one of those douchebag Rascal Flatts. Anything by them should be on that list. Oh, God, I'd like to split my wrist.
Get your hair back, get your first and second wives back. Your front porch swing, your pretty little thing.
All right, thank you, Rascal Flatts.
That's enough of that one.
How about this one?
You guys ever heard this song called Cotton Eye Joe by this really horrible group named Redneck?
I've been married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from? Cotton Eye Joe.
That was a very short-lived but disturbing trend of electronic country music. And that, again, that's a perfect example. We were talking about Barbie Girl last hour.
Yeah.
That's when Kiss FM was playing songs like Barbie Girl and Cotton Eye Joe, that's when I grew to hate that kind of station. Because how do people listen to that over and over and over again?
Here's when I grew to hate our kind of station.
How the F can you miss the freaking Handlebar song. Fuck that.
I can ride my bike with no handlebars.
Yeah, that was.
I got no problem with the handlebars.
That was.
Lou Vega, a little bit of Monica in my life. Oh.
A little bit of Monica in my life. A little bit of Erica by my side. A little bit of Rita's all I need.
Yeah, that was. That's like the worst that music has ever put out. You know what I mean? Like, it's in that category of people who are trying to ruin the entire music genre.
It's what they play in a disco on a cruise ship.
Yeah.
That's what that sounds like to me.
For 65-year-old people to dance to, do the line dance. Here's an older one.
One of the worst ones, and I don't know how it didn't make the top 10, Milli Vanilli. I mean, come on. How could that not make the list?
Now, did people hate the Milli Vanilli songs until they found out the hoax? I mean, do people now hate them because of what a sham it was, or did they hate the songs even?
I don't know.
No matter who was singing them, I wonder.
Probably a mixture of both. I never liked Milli Vanilli.
I just thought wouldn't be your music.
It's just like such disposable pop crap.
Yeah.
But here's my number one. And again, we're taking calls at the Afro line, 323-520-AFRO, if you have suggestions.
How come you asshats didn't think of Gordon Lightfoot? A wreck of the goddamn Edmund Fitzgerald.
Wind in the wires made a tattletale sound, and the wave broke over the railing.
That song.
You don't know, man. You don't know.
That song, you're tired of the repetition by the time you get to the end of just that song once.
Save that piece of tape for when we do the best songs of all time, because that's my number one.
That's my number one on the worst.
I'm Blue by Eiffel 65.
I'm Blue, I've indeed, I've died.
The dude is
horrible.
Blue, Bean, but he's blue.
Horrible. Thank you for whatever listener called with that. Thank you for that.
And finally, how dare you?
Anything that Sam, the Armenian comedian, sings.
Oh,
I don't know that this would be considered a hit.
Oh, mama, did you mean?
kidding when I tell you that I love that song and listen to it on my own time sometimes.
Oh, no,
I do. No. Not for a joke. I actually do like it.
That was the what?
No. I do like that song. I do. I like Oh Mama. I like, to me, that I'm just, I can't stop thinking about you, baby, and Oh Mama is one of the great A and B sides of all time. I'm down with Sam. All right.
Dude. Bro. Dude.
I'm
bang,
just saying.
Bang, bang, bang. That's all she wants to do.
Flying those paper planes into buildings, man. You know how damaging that can be. That is MIA on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. The song is called Paper Planes. And every time we call that, we get frantic emails from people telling us that Bill Gates is tracking a new email program and we can get $225 no. just for using this.
Oh, no, that's a different one.
Let me skip that one. We get frantic emails from people who say that MIA is a terrorist and that K-Rock are bad, bad people for supporting her.
Now, we're bad, bad people for a lot of reasons.
But not for playing the MIA song, right?
Well, I don't know.
So we said, let's get ourselves one of them experts on the air and find out what the deal is. So we went to editor-at-large at Blender Magazine, Lizzie Goodman, on the phone with us right now. Hey, Liz, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey there. Thanks for having me.
Are we playing a terrorist? What's going on with that?
Are you an expert on all things MIA? And can we start with, why does she look exactly like Sanjaya?
Well, you know, that's one of the deepest mysteries that sure. has plagued fans of hers over the years. No, I mean, you know, she's a
terrorist.
Yes, absolutely.
She hates America.
Where does that come from? Her father?
No, yeah, that's really the source of this. I mean, she's a Londoner whose father has very distinct ties to an organization that's fighting for independence in the Sri Lankan Civil War that has been labeled a terrorist organization by Canada, the U.S., the EU. So that's where this is coming from. Her parental association with him and the sort of image for this organization is a tiger. It's the Liberation Tigers of Tamil Eelam is the name of the organization. And
that is not a good name for an organization, by the way, first of all.
It's kind of long.
Yeah.
It doesn't really
roll, doesn't roll off the tongue.
Right?
Very bad.
Get in there and get people going. But so she's been sort of, this has followed her. And then she's had these visa problems getting into the United States.
The United States blocked her for a year or so, right?
Yeah.
Really? From even coming in.
The controversial nature of her lyrics and the objections that you guys are bearing witness to with all these emails. And then recently, an American rapper who is also Sri Lankan originally, called D-Lon, put up this video, made a remix of the Paper Planes video that sort of very directly accused MIA of supporting terrorism and kind of siding with this organization, and he really violently objected to that. So that sort of brought this issue all back to the forefront.
But I gotcha.
What
do we know about it?
I mean, what do we know about her?
Yeah.
We know that she has adamantly opposed this. You know, basically, I think what's really unfair about this, honestly, is that this is a girl who grew up a civilian in a war zone, and she's talked about that, and her songs are really reflective of sort of the contrast between this cause for independence, which she's grown up around, and a real disdain for violence, and to try and sort of encapsulate both of those things at the same time in her music. And that's kind of what she's talked about her intention being, and what, you know, I hear when I hear her songs. So it's pretty ridiculous to kind of to lambast somebody who's trying to express the conflict they grew up with, essentially, for taking, you know, the obvious side there, the most controversial side, which she's clearly not doing.
Is her father still alive and active with this liberation group back home in Sri Lanka?
Yeah, my understanding is that he is. My understanding is also that she doesn't see him all that often. I mean, one of the things that, you know, people have to realize is that growing up, she wasn't really around him very much. I mean, we're talking about a man who, she was born in London, he was born in London, and then they moved the family back to Sri Lanka to sort of get involved. He founded a different sort of independence organization, and he was, you know, a very serious player in this brewing cause for revolution, and so he and his family were in danger. I mean, she moved to India when she was young and kind of had to get out of the country, and then they went back to the UK. And this is a girl who went to, you know, the St. Martin's College of Art and Design and toured with Elastica, and that's how she got her start. I mean, she's a videographer. She's not, you know, she's not a Glock-toting, like, street kid.
But Lizzie, all she wants to do is bang, 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 bang.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's, I think... I
could
think,
be sex, could be terrorism, don't know.
Yeah, why aren't we talking about that? I mean, that's how I always read
Because she looks like Sanjaya.
Yeah, we don't want to think about
that. Knowing that she's violent. not sex we were talking about. I mean, who knew? You know, it's like
I know that this this song is hot right now because of Pineapple Express, but right. It has been around for a couple of years, and she has had quite a fan base. I mean, there are a lot of people who have been into her for a number of years now. Do you think she's the real deal? Is she a real talented artist?
I do. I think she's. I mean, we said that this album, Calla, was that this song came off of was the best album of last year. So did a bunch of other publications, and you know, I really stand behind that. I mean, one of the ironic things about this controversy is one of the things that makes her so brilliant is her ability to really sample from a truly multicultural sort of array of sounds and put that into her music. I mean, this record was recorded all over the world and, you know, has like children in jungle towns singing backup for her on certain songs. And
holding AK-47s, Lizzie.
Well,
right?
Yeah, they're right there in the sound. You can hear them. Oh. No, but, you know, yeah, so this sort of, she's really got a completely original sound, and she's talked a lot about kind of using her music to put a pop and charming feel to what is otherwise some controversial emotional experiences of her past. So, yeah, I think she's the real deal. I think she makes great, undeniably awesome singles and also has substance behind it.
Now, when she says I let go, is that where people are starting to feel like, hey, wait a minute?
I think part of what the Paper Plane song in particular kind of highlights for people is just this sense of like sort of immigrant alienation and the stereotypes that can go along with, ironically, the stereotypes that are going along with exactly what she's being accused of now. Like, if you're from Sri Lanka and you have, you grew up in this sort of activist, violent way, does that make you a terrorist? You know, and so the way that she, kind of the voice that she uses in that song is very sort of, plays into, how this individual, the narrator of that song, knows people are perceiving them.
But I don't I don't think it's ugly American to ask if her father is branded a terrorist by the EU, not just America.
And Canada and, you know, Brazil.
Canada, for God's sakes. They don't take a stand on anything. Maybe there's a connection there. Maybe she's sending money. I mean, I don't think that's...
She's not.
Bad question to ask.
I agree. I don't think... But the thing is that she's answered it. And I think that it's also not a bad question to ask of her, but it's not really represented in the songs. I mean, there are a lot of songs about violence. There are a lot of songs that sort of include tales of the street type descriptions of what people grew up around. I mean, we have that here. We have that everywhere. But it's because of her father's allegiance to this organization and her background that it's then being implied that she's a terrorist as a result. It's not like it's really within the music. I mean, the thing that's in her music and in her art is these tiger images, which are very cartoonish and sort of artistic. And she's been accused of having those be sort of subtle signs that she's you know
supporting
the
story.
Exactly. And I you know I think that's it's like, well, you know, I have this T-shirt that has a tiger on it. So does that
you mean, are too then, Lizzie?
Then why do you hate the troops, Lizzie? That's my question for you.
it's really this thing that's dogged me for my entire life. No, but I think
right.
you know, yeah, I don't think it's a stupid question to ask, but I think it's one that she's answered.
So she is a terrorist then.
No, I think the conclusion is she is not, Kevin. The conclusion is she's not a terrorist.
I mean,
not.
You know, because she said she's not. And so are we going to say that because her songs describe what was admittedly upbringing marred by violence, she grew up a civilian in a civil war zone, does that necessarily mean that therefore we're just going to assume for her, even though she's denied it, that these descriptions reveal a secret allegiance to
yes.
the terrorist organization?
Yes,
no.
We are.
The answer
well,
is
no,
Kevin.
Case,
no,
you know, you
no we're not. Sorry. No, the answer is no.
All right. We're going to scratch MAA off the list of terrorists, but Barack Obama, that dude is a radical Muslim who hates America, right?
Well,
I mean, we can all agree on that.
I mean, the other thing to say without all this serious talk about terrorism, like, the song's really awesome. I mean, it's a
yes,
really,
that's
like,
an excellent point.
That's
an
true.
Excellent point.
We hadn't thought of the song's really awesome.
Yeah.
Lizzie
saying.
Goodman is the editor-at-large at Blender, apparently was the right person to go to answer our ridiculous question, but we did want to ask because our listeners have been asking us, and thank you for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning,
Thank
Lizzie. We enjoyed it.
Thank you very much for having me. It was
Thank
fun
you.
Being here.
Bye.
Can I nominate Girls by the Beastie Boys? Boy, that song
yeah.
blows.
I mean, very rarely do you get a band as good as those guys come up with a song as bad as that.
It is kind of a crappy song that everybody has taken in.
Yeah.
It really kind of...
I think they get a pass because they're the Beastie Boys. Like, oh, that song blows. Oh, it's the Beastie Boys? Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, it's pretty good.
If that was the only song that any band came out with, I don't think it would necessarily...
I have to agree. Usually you used to have to go to the old Dr. Demento show to find a song of that quality on the radio. And yet here we are still playing it.
Yeah.
Some 40 years after it came out. All right, let's talk showbiz news, shall we? Ooh, it's a SmackDown.
Uh-oh.
It's a steel cage grudge match. Anderson Cooper versus Dina Loewen. Apparently Anderson Cooper was filling in for Regis Philbin on his show Tuesday morning. And while he and Kelly were talking about reality television that they enjoy... Cooper admitted that he caught a couple episodes of Living Loewen over there on E! And just went off. Went off on the show. Here's a little taste of Anderson Cooper talking about Dina Loewen and Ali Loewen.
There's this perfectly nice, seeming allegedly a 14-year-old girl, looks to be about 60, but... I say that with concern and love. And she allegedly wants to be a singer and or actor slash performer of some sort, striptease person, I don't know. And she seems perfectly nice, and I feel bad for her. But at 14, she's, you know, she's out there like her mom is like, all right, go out there. You're a singer. Be a star.
You're a singer.
By the way, he makes a good point. It doesn't matter to Ali what she does. She'd be just as happy singing or dancing or stripping as long as she's famous.
Yeah, I read you quotes from Ali Loewen where she said, I just want to be famous like my sister.
Yeah.
That would be the coolest thing. I love when people ask me for my autograph. She just wants to be famous. And her mother, instead of saying, honey, there's more to life than that, you need to focus on becoming a quality person, is feeding into that.
Of course. Yeah, her paycheck.
Mother. Her mother's
that house
the devil.
Of cards.
Yeah.
So,
you know, Anderson made a great point, which is the only reason this show exists is because Lindsay Loewen is famous, yet she's not on the show. All they do is kind of talk about her on the program. And how is that a TV show?
Yeah, he said, who is this Lindsay Loewen person? Because they talk about her a lot on this show, but she never shows up. And Dina Loewen shot back yesterday to the pages of OK Magazine saying that the reason behind Anderson Cooper's rant is that, and I quote, people are just cruel.
Okay.
Or accurate.
Or right. She also added, this is very bad karma for him.
What?
Be careful, Anderson. She put the karma voodoo hex on you.
Ooh, look out.
Yeah.
You hear what Regis had to say about his fill-in that day?
No.
You know what I love? I love Oreo cookies.
Yeah, I thought it's illuminating.
He doesn't get a chance to play that very often, Ralph. That was tangentially related.
Because it doesn't really fit anything.
Elvis Presley's having more grandkids. Well,
oh, good.
Not him, because he's dead. But his daughter,
allegedly,
Lisa Marie Presley, is pregnant with twins. And apparently, it's a big deal to some people.
Twins are hot this year.
Well, you know, Elvis was a twin.
That's right.
His twin died at childbirth.
Oh.
He was an identical twin.
Can you imagine being the twin of Elvis? Just go around.
Not for long.
Getting tail. No, I'm saying if you live, though, you can go around getting tail all the time because you're Elvis.
Elvis used to talk to him all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not cool.
He talked to his dead twin brother.
Okay.
That's kind of creepy.
That's creepy.
Priscilla Presley, by the way, told Entertainment Tonight that she hates the idea of being called grandma because it makes her feel too old. So instead, she asks her grandchildren to call her Industrial Silicone Face.
Really? That's what she's going with?
The more accurate name she feels than grandma doesn't make her feel quite so old. Boy, is that a horribly botched plastic surgery
job. Good.
Sad, because, man, look at the old Naked Gun movie. She was a beautiful woman.
She was a hottie. Brett Ratner is starting work.
Playing for the Jets now.
No, that's a Brett Favre.
Brett Favre. Oh, sorry.
Brett Ratner, the movie director, is starting work on a new picture about the life of Hugh Hefner. I love the idea of a movie about Hugh Hefner's life. I don't love the idea that Brett Ratner, man behind, what's that, Jackie Chan, Chris
Rush
Tucker,
Hour.
Rush Hour, will be helming it. I think you need someone with a little bit more finesse, a little less blowing things up, a little more acting experience, director-wise.
Yeah, I can see that.
But they're talking about casting, and they asked Hef who he thought would be good to play
him. He's a fag.
Who, Hef? How dare you?
Hef says that he thinks Robert Downey Jr. would be perfect to play him.
Robert Downey Jr. would be perfect to
he
play anyone.
Look him, look like him,
doesn't look
he
like him at all, but
off.
He's got the charisma.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don Cheadle?
Yeah.
Cheadle would be great, yeah. I guess.
I think there's only one name that should be considered.
Vern Troyer?
Great Rodney Bingenheimer. I think clearly Rodney as F would be the best.
Well, half is 82 years old. Rodney,
that's what I'm saying. Rodney could play
Rodney might
now.
Be a little old to play, play modern day half. That's all
Stallone.
I'm thinking.
Stallone would be great. Yeah. You want to be a bunny? Everybody wants to be a bunny.
Yeah, so no word yet who will be cast, but the Hef thinks Downey would be good for it. You know who I think would be good? Vince Vaughn.
Sure.
Yeah, I could see
sure,
that.
I could see that.
Yeah, I guess he's, yeah.
You know, the kind of dark-haired, tall, Midwest Chicago mm-hmm. kind of boy. That's where Hefner's mm-hmm. from. I mean, they got a lot in common, and yeah. I think Vaughn certainly has the charm to pull mm-hmm. off that role as well. Or Ben Affleck.
Sure, either one.
Yeah. Speaking of movies, Quentin Tarantino is remaking a cult film called Faster Pussycat Kill Kill. And word on the street is he has hired Britney Spears to play a killer lesbian stripper in the film.
Hmm. A killer lesbian stripper?
Yes.
Okay.
Apparently, the movie's about three thrill-seeking strippers who go on a murder rampage. After encountering a couple in the desert, Britney's character murders the boyfriend with her bare hands.
That's so hot.
And takes the girl to be her own. So, that sounds good to me.
Does she have the chops to be
no.
in a movie like that?
Have you ever seen Faster Pussycat Kill Kill?
I haven't.
It is a exploitation B-movie from the 60s mm-hmm. with horrible acting.
Oh.
It's one of those movies that's popular because it's so bad.
Oh, is that right?
It's low budget, cheap. It's like the Grindhouse movies, you know, yeah. and they kind of, Tarantino and Rodriguez went off because they love those sort of bad B-movies. This is the ultimate sort of bad acting, just let's put strippers in there with big boobs kind of drive-in movie. So I think...
Does she have the chops even for that, though?
It's a stretch, but she may be able to rise to that level of acting.
This was filmmaker Russ Meyer. Is that who made Faster Pussycat?
I believe so, yes.
He had like 40 movies that were all just like you just described.
Just... girls with giant cans. He would just sort of loosely stitch together a plot and just put them in front of the camera and just watch them watch their boobs bounce.
Well, sometimes that's what's needed.
Good man, that Russ.
You know,
that is classic.
Did you feel that? Those are giant boobies on the roof.
Do you feel that?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Ow. Wayne Knight from Seinfeld played Newman. He is 53 years old today. Bruce Dickinson of Iron Maiden turns 50 years old today.
Yeah!
Chris Angel?
Yep.
Yes.
David Duchovny of The X-Files turns 48. Harold Perrineau of Lost and Oz is 45. And today should be a national holiday. We should all get the day off, and we should just go and worship at the altar of our goddess. Charlize Theron celebrates her birthday today. She's 33 years old. And Charlize, if you're listening, call me. I've got something I want to give you.
For what?
I've got a gift for her.
What is it?
I can't talk about it on the air.
What is it?
The FCC won't let me talk about it on the air.
I think she's hotter at 33 than she was at 23.
She gets exponentially hotter as each year passes.
Plus, she's a superhero now. She can fly.
Eventually, she will shed her corporal form and just become energy, I think. And she will just rise above the earth and warm us with the rays of energy that emanate from her soul.
Wow.
That could happen, Ralph.
She will be the new center of our solar system.
Okay.
She will eclipse the sun with her beauty and talent. That's what I'm trying to say.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
I don't know. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Does it make me a bad person that I want to marry Kay Underwood, 20 years old, that has cataplexy?
What is cataplexy?
Almost any sort of strong emotion triggers a dramatic weakening of her muscles and she faints.
Oh, my God.
Laughing?
Like?
Faints.
Like laughing?
Anger? Faint. Faints.
I think that sounds like fun on the first date. I think you'd tire of it quickly, though.
I don't think I would tire of it.
No, Kevin wouldn't.
Fear, faint. Surprise, faint. Awe, faint. Embarrassment, faint. Any emotion, faint.
How often do you experience no emotion? I mean, for what period of time? In any day?
They diagnosed this 5 years ago. Once she collapsed more than 40 times in one day.
Oh, my God.
I mean, think about this for a second, Kevin. You just pull up to your house, get out of the car, walk in the house. If your wife's not expecting you to come home at that moment,
yep.
and she's surprised to see you,
I know.
She's out like a light.
I would stalk her and sneak around. That would be awesome.
If she turns around in the kitchen and is a little bit frightened because she doesn't know you're standing there, boom, she faints.
Faints. Literally faints for minutes. She can still hear what's going on, but she has no muscle control whatsoever. She looks just, you know, asleep.
Like catatonic.
And she has, narcolepsy, which is, she also falls asleep sometimes.
Falls asleep all the time, too. When she's not fainting from laughing or surprise or fear,
yes.
then she's fallen asleep. Boy, you can't keep a job then or something like that, right?
Wouldn't you have to be, like, wearing padded clothes all the time?
I would think you'd have to wear a helmet.
I think you would, too.
I mean, really, too.
What are you going to do?
So, oh my God. You're not going to believe this, but we did ask producer Alex to line up Miss Underwood, who apparently is in Britain, where she is undergoing tests, and they are working very, very hard to try to figure out how to cure her so she no longer lives with this nightmare. And we have Kay Underwood on the line with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Sean K-Rock. Good morning, Kay.
Kay!
Oh, hello. Hi. Good morning.
Hey, it's Kevin and Bean from K-Rock. How are you today?
Hi. Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Kay, we thought you were British, no?
No, I'm an exchange student from Manhattan Beach.
Really? Because we didn't see that anywhere in the article.
Yeah, they forgot that.
How about that?
So, Kay, this article that we're referring to was in the Telegraph. They have this right. You have something called cataplexy.
Yeah, if I have extreme emotion, I just faint. I collapse. So I try to stay really sad.
Come on. That wouldn't be fun. Like. Come on. Kay?
You guys.
What?
she laughed. So sad.
Stop making me laugh.
All right, we're going to try hard.
I try to stay really calm centered. I try to be really zen and mellow.
Okay.
So we have this right then. So if you're afraid, if you're angry, if you're surprised, if you're in awe, even if you're embarrassed, that somehow makes you collapse right there to the ground, wherever you are, whatever you're doing.
Yeah, I'll just fall right down. So I try to feel it coming on and try to lean on someone or fall on something soft.
Do you have to wear a helmet?
No, I did when I was a kid. That's
too bad.
That is kind of sad. I don't want to.
Hey, wait a minute. Shouldn't you fall if it's sad? Come on.
Well, I'm not sad now.
Oh,
I'm
sad
then.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't want to embarrass you, Kay, but you sound kind of hot.
Thank you. I am.
Can you?
Wait a second. I thought that wouldn't embarrass her and she would fall.
Nope. She knows she's hot.
I'm actually not embarrassed by that.
She's not as easy as you guys think.
No,
we haven't figured this out yet.
Can you go to movies and stuff? I mean, wouldn't you get. Hello?
Kay?
Am I boring her?
Kay? No, this is
narcolepsy.
Right.
Kay? You dozed off, Kay. You okay?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Can you go to movies?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But scary movies?
No, I can't. I can't go see scary movies.
Action flicks?
No, those scare me. All the loud noises, and no, I don't like it.
Sad movies?
No, because then I cry.
Yeah, you
what
can't
kind
do that.
Of movies are you going to, sister?
Like documentaries about puppies and rainbows.
Are there a lot of documentaries about puppies?
Yep.
So,
wait a minute.
Oh, she laughed. That's so sad.
Oh, that's sad.
So, Kay, it must be tough, for instance, a week like this when the Pineapple Express is coming out and everybody's talking about how funny it is. You can't go and enjoy it.
No, and I love pot because it keeps me really mellow.
Sure.
Do some yoga, listen to Jack Johnson, smoke some weed. But I can't go see it because I'll laugh.
Mm.
And it's all over.
Okay. So you're an exchange student from Manhattan Beach?
Yep.
What high school did you go to, Kay?
I went to MiraCosta High School in Manhattan Beach.
Really? Because our producer went there.
Oh, fascinating. Yeah. We must know each other.
That's an interesting coincidence, I think.
So how does
Boo! Love that.
Come on, you wouldn't want to be married to her.
Whoa, again? Shut up.
You scared me and then you made me laugh. You guys suck so hard. That's it? What, anything else? This is where Ralph would usually get out of the bed.
I could talk to you all day. All right. What was that? Just boredom?
Why is Omar there?
This week we've been talking about this list at spinner.com of the worst songs of all time. In general, they did a pretty good job. You got your, you know, your Macarena's in there and your Achy Breaky Hearts are on the list. Some of the other songs, by the way, that we haven't mentioned, Kevin, that are a little bit outside the top 10. Yeah. Europe, Final Countdown is number 20 on their list.
Oh, sure.
The Thong Song by Sisqó is number 16 on their list.
Sure.
Rico Suave, number 14 on their list.
Should be.
Creed with Arms Wide Open, number 12.
Oh, yeah.
That can't break the top 10, really?
So we've been asking for your calls on the Kevin and Bean Afro line at 323-520-AFRO. We'll get back to that in 1 second. A couple of email ones that I want to mention, though. Brian writes in, hey, I heard you guys are doing the worst songs of all time. Please consider a couple of my suggestions of songs that are terrible and have achieved unwarranted success. And I'd like to start with Kiss, Rock and Roll All Night. How lame is it? How lame is that line? How many times can we say it over and over again in a song? Boy, it sounds like a lot of work went into that. Come to think of it, a lot of Kiss songs are like that. One catchy phrase repeated over and over again, like Lick It Up or Hotter Than Hell. And while we're on the Kiss subject, how horrible is Beth? Time to go AWOL from the Kiss Army. Brian also writes, here's a song so bad that the guy who sang it later apologized for it. I'm talking about Michael Stipe singing for R.E.M. on Shiny Happy People. That was a big, big song here on K-Rock for a long time, if you recall.
Yes,
but,
it was.
Not so much lately. You haven't heard much of the shiny, happy people of the great R.E.M. song.
Doesn't
to the
hold up well.
Mm-mm. Micah writes in, guys, what about the doorbell song by the freaking White Stripes? Yeah, I'm thinking about my doorbell.
When you gonna ring it? When you gonna ring it? I bet at least he follows it up with...
Seriously, it sounds like a five-year-old banging on some drums with a guy screaming like a girl over it. It's the most repetitive song ever. I have no idea what their appeal is. Oh, this is from your fan Micah, Psycho Mike. He also adds a P.S. I've been thinking about my doorbell, Psycho Mike, at my back door, wondering when you're going to ring it.
Yes.
So apparently Mike had an ulterior motive. But yes. Those are some pretty good suggestions that people have been emailing of songs that maybe could have made the list.
We were talking about huge songs. They have to have had a certain amount of success. So this one will be in the future, but it can't be successful. You know, considered yet.
DJ Omar Khan's 911 operator. I mean, you guys have come to an all-time low. That song really sucks. 911 operator.
911 operator. See, but we only debuted that yesterday.
Right.
So it's got to have time to build. Be hated yet. And it'll make the, you know, the transition to MTV, you know, the whole thing.
Then it'll be on the list.
Here's a another suggestion for the worst song of all time.
The Hasselhoff. The Hoffman. Get in my car. Jump in my car.
I want to take you home. Could be one of the worst songs of all time, but not a hit.
Not here.
Was it a hit in Germany?
Maybe. I don't know. He had a lot of.
Remember,
big
he
hits
sings
in
the
Germany.
Whole time, jump in my car, and then the very last verse is get out of my car.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the whole transition.
Dude, you guys forgot Eddie Murphy. My girl loves to party all the time, party all the time, party all the time.
Yeah, he tried hard to have a recording career for a while. And that one, by the way, was written and produced by his good friend Rick James. The great late Rick James put that one together
for
him.
Well, that makes me feel a little less gay for liking it. Then, if you haven't heard this song, this is going to sound like a joke, but it's not.
Dude, how about the Sunscreen song? It was never a song, it was a poem, but everybody thought it was a song.
The long-term benefits of sunscreen have been proved by scientists.
I'm not kidding. We played that 7 billion times.
That was a huge hit for us.
Yes, it was.
Baz Luhrmann, yeah.
Yes, it was.
I think the worst song ever made is the Kevin and Bean theme song.
I like lettuce and bad TV. When it comes to cigarettes, I'm a real OG.
Yeah, that's...
Come on.
No, he's right.
That's some good stuff right there.
But again, not a hit, so that doesn't really qualify, although it is bad.
The worst song ever has got to be the Honky Tonk Badonka Bonk, but whatever the hell, Badonka Donk. Honky Tonk
Badonka Donk. That's awful. Even for country music, that's spectacularly bad.
Oh,
really?
I couldn't agree. Yeah, more.
B-52's The Rock Lobster.
Classic.
You can't even sound like you calling in on the Afro Light, Kevin.
Come on. That takes the Beastie Boys girls and takes it down a notch in production value before they start singing over that one. So anyway, 323-520-AFRO all this morning for the worst songs ever.
Hey, K-Rock listeners. This is Dave Grohl.
All this week on K-Rock.
Ride with the Foo Fighters.
Win tickets to see the Foo Fighters at a Love Ride benefit concert.
October 26th, Fairplex Pomona.
Tickets on sale Saturday at 10 a.m.
All this week, win to the ass.
What about our friend Greg Grunberg back on the show? What about talking to Greg this morning?
Hey, Greg.
What's up? How are you?
What's happening, man?
You know, just hanging with you guys in the morning.
Greg is the police officer, of course, on Heroes that can hear your thoughts.
Exactly.
Pretty cool.
When is that damn show coming back, dude?
September 22nd, we're back. We're shooting 26 new episodes right now.
So, wow.
Yeah.
Awesome.
What happens in all of them?
It's so easy to put our show into a nutshell, you know?
It is.
We were down at Comic-Con, and we showed the first hour, you know, when we come back,
right,
to 8,000 people in this hall. It was unbelievable to watch the show on these huge screens with all those people, and the reaction was incredible. The show is like... This year, they're kind of going back to the first year of, like, twists and turns, and they don't have to establish these characters anymore. And
right.
It's called Villains, so I think everyone's going to be happy. It's there's a lot of adrenaline. It's really a shot out of a cannon when we first start.
We sure miss the shows. I mean, summer seems really long, and, you know, the promos come on, and you see that a show is coming back, like, at the end of September, and you go, "That it will have been 6 months since I last saw it by the time it finally gets back on the air.
Nine months.
Wow.
Dude,
really?
For your show, 9 months. Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, with the strike and everything, it's ridiculous. And to keep the interest, you know, that's been the hardest thing. The good thing is that NBC's way behind it, and they're using the Olympics to push it. And so, you know.
Wait a minute. The Olympics are on NBC?
Why don't they ever mention that?
How come they don't mention that? That's weird.
Yeah, I think they want to keep it a secret.
Did you do Comic-Con during Alias as well?
I did. I went down there because we had, like, action figures and you know, stuff. Comic-Con is so not comics now. It's everything.
Yeah. Everything but.
And, you know, but nothing like this. And the reaction from, you know, Heroes, obviously, it's just been huge.
Well, come on. People with superpowers in Comic-Con, that's made for each other.
Yeah. And it's like Halloween. It's like Halloween for adults down there. I loved it. It was really, we had a good time.
Were you at all any kind of a comic book or sci-fi geek growing up, Greg?
I loved the movies and I loved the TV shows that came out of it, but I never collected. I never did that. But now, since I'm on the show and there are a lot of like graphic novels and stuff that have come out of the show, my kids are really into it. So I'm kind of reliving that through my kids, which is cool.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Now, let's talk about music for a second. How long have you been a drummer?
Pretty much my whole life. I'm kind of self-taught, you know. I put on Rush when I was like about 12 and just tried to keep up. You know, I was one of those kids.
How'd that work out?
Didn't work out well.
No, that's a tough place to start.
Exactly.
Let's just start with something easier.
Right. Well, then I graduated to Tom Petty, and that got a lot easier. It was just keeping that beat. But
sure.
I've loved it. And this, you know, my band, Band from TV, has come out of just wanting to do this stuff for charity. And I had a garage band, and I got asked to play at the House of Blues one time years ago. But now it's become this huge thing. I mean, we played on American Idol, and I've got all these great actors in the band with me.
Who's in the band?
Well, James Denton from Desperate Housewives.
Okay.
Bob Guinea, who's on Date My House now. He was on The Bachelor. Jesse Spencer from House. Hugh Laurie from House. And then we've got, you know, all great people backing us up, the guys from the Eagles, and you know, we've got some real great musicians backing us up. But then we invite special guests out, like Terry Hatcher singing with us this Saturday, Hayden Panettiere will be on stage, Adrian Pazdar is playing guitar, Zach Levi from Chuck, and Jorge Garcia, who plays Hurley.
Yes!
Really?
Yeah, it's going to be, this is our... We play these shows. We get paid by these corporations a lot of money. And Netflix this Saturday is they're going all out. They've got this thing called Netflix Live where they had Bruce Willis out with his band, and they had Kevin Bacon with his band, and Kevin Costner, and then they show like they'll show their movies afterwards, and it's a really good time. They've been advertising the crap out of this, and it's just great. It's going to be a lot of fun. And
I'm sorry, did you say Kevin Costner?
Kevin Costner.
Okay.
Yeah. He's got a band.
I'm just checking. Tell us about where you could be seen and what the proceeds go to.
Okay, well, It's called Netflix Live on location, and they do these all the time. This is going to be Saturday night. We play from 7 to 8 at the Autry National Center of the American West, which is, it shares a parking lot with the L.A. Zoo there in Griffith Park, and it's from 8 from 7 to it'll go to about 9 or 10. They're going to show different TV show episodes after us, so it's going to be a lot of fun, and it's free to the public. That's the thing that's crazy. They pay, Netflix is paying our band a lot of money, and as you know, all the money that we get goes out to all the charities that we support. So, which, you know, there are a bunch of charities. Mine is the Epilepsy Foundation of America, Starlight Starbright, the Coalition Against Domestic Violence, Guitar Center Music Foundation, a bunch of great charities. So by coming out, you're supporting the charities because we get, you know, all the money we make goes out. But it's going to be an unbelievable. We've never had this many celebrities, you know, or actors on stage at one time, and we've been rehearsing like crazy, and it's pretty good. We shocked the audience.
Do you have to clear everyone off for Hurley?
No.
Come on.
No.
I'm just asking.
When that guy takes the mic, man, he just
can he sing?
He sings.
No,
he's
kidding.
Unbelievable.
I gotta imagine that Hurley is still pissed at you for crashing his plane, though, isn't he?
No, come on, man. There would be no show if I didn't crash
that's
the plane.
That's right. Greg was the pilot of the plane on Lost.
Yeah. He sure the hell was.
The first person to go away.
Exactly.
Hey, I shouldn't ask this question, but when you're drumming, I mean, first of all, I don't know. I'm not a musician. I don't know anything about how hard it is, but is it a lot of concentration to drum, or are you able to look around and kind of watch and enjoy what's going on at the time while you're playing?
Well, I sing also one song, and basically I scream.
Oh, good.
You know, yeah. The last song you guys just had on, mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of like what I do, you know, where it's just like,
excellent. Excellent.
But what we lack in talent, we make up for in fun. I mean, everybody has a good time. But to answer your question, I catch myself zoning. I really do. I catch myself like, and then I realize I have to entertain. I have to smile. I have to enjoy myself because we have such a good time. But as an actor, I get like 16 tries to get it right once. And when I'm on stage playing the drums, you know, that's it, man. You get one shot at it. And so it's tough, but we have such a great time, like I said.
There will come a time Saturday night that at the Autry Center, there, as you mentioned, right next to the LA Zoo, that you'll be playing drums and looking squarely at Hayden Panettiere's ass as she sings. That will happen then.
Wait, there'll come a time? I think that's how I keep my beat. Are you kidding me?
You just got to place her right in front of the drums for the whole night.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you can't do any better than it being a lot of fun and being free to the public and still going to a great cause thanks to Netflix Live. Again, it's the Autry National Center, Pine Meadows Lawn, 4700 Western Heritage Way in Los Angeles. The band goes on at around 7 o'clock. It's the Band From TV. And their website, I think, is bandfromtv.org. Is that right, Greg?
Ours is bandfromtv.org, or people can go to netflix.com/bandfromtv and get all the details. And I say this every time, I love you guys so much.
Thanks,
Greg. Thank you so much for letting me come on and talk about this, because again, the charities benefit. You know, if Netflix didn't do this, obviously it wouldn't happen. But you guys getting the word out, it's already going to be packed. There's going to be it's a lot of families. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's very cool that you can go for free and yet still raise money for charity.
Yeah,
it's great.
It's a win-win. Well, Greg, I hope we'll talk to you again once Heroes gets back up and running on the NBC. And thanks so much for your time. Have a great time this Saturday night, dude.
Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you, man.
Don't make those hand signals, Ralph.
Goes against.
Don't make those.
Ralph, I got to warn you that Bean is pitching us hard to talk to the Museum of
Toasters.
The Toaster Museum, yeah.
Just so you know.
That sounds like what your blog was invented for.
I love the Toaster Museum so much. It has everything on it.
No, it doesn't have everything. You know what it has? Toasters. That's it. That's all it has. It's the opposite
toasters,
of everything. It has one thing.
Sorted by categories, companies from A to Z, where they're manufactured.
Been talking about this for half hour, Ralph.
Price, toaster history, technical specification of toasters. Here's a section on books about toasters, links to collectors.
This is one of those
of
things that we will do just to shut Bean up, I think. And then maybe we'll have some kind of a phone problem where we can't hear the guy.
Oh, how dare
something
you.
Like that.
Something like
that. When we give in to him, we only make it stronger.
I know, but I can't take him talking about the Toaster Museum for much longer.
It's like going down the dark side, Kevin. Know. Once you go down towards the Sith, you never become a Jedi.
Here's a list of the most desired collectible toasters of all time. When they were made, who they were made by, how much they go for.
55 now, time for the Ralph Showbiz beat.
Maybe they'll put on display the toaster I used to beat you to death. Maybe they'll have the bloody, dented toaster that I used to bash your skull in with. They'll put that up as a special display. The murder toaster, they'll call it.
The murder toaster. Oh, we can make a movie about it.
The toaster that kills.
Death toaster.
Toaster that eats. All right, let's talk showbiz, shall we?
All right.
It's on between Anderson Cooper and Dina Loewen.
I think that's a pretty easy call. Knowing you, I mean, Dina Loewen is the devil.
Coop was filling in for Regis over there, and Regis and Kelly, and they were talking about reality television, and he went off on Livin' Loewen, which is, as we know, horrible show starring horrible people.
Really horrible.
And all he did was pretty much call it like it was.
There's this perfectly nice, seeming, allegedly a 14-year-old girl, looks to be about 60, but who is, no, I say that with concern and love, and she allegedly wants to be a singer and or actor slash performer of some sort, striptease person, I don't know, and she seems perfectly nice, and I feel bad for her, but at 14, she's, you know, she's out there, like her mom is like, all right, go out there, you're a singer, be a star.
You're a singer.
Yeah. It's a pretty good impression of Dina Loewen, by the way. So Dina Loewen, naturally, because she can't let anything be. She's the woman who's calling the websites constantly when they put anything up about any of her kids.
Combing the magazines every day.
Sifting through tabloids, just looking for something to be angry about.
God, I hate her.
She did an interview with OK Magazine saying that the reason Anderson did this is because, and I quote, people are just cruel, and this is very bad karma for him.
For saying the truth?
He's in trouble.
Couldn't she have just said, hey, tell Anderson Cooper I appreciate him watching the show?
Done. Well, that would have been so much cooler.
Diffused.
If she had taken the high road.
She couldn't have said that. No. She just, she's not
in her way.
Not in her.
Speaking of taking bad publicity and making good, have you seen the new billboards for Gossip Girls?
Mm-mm.
The ones that say
they take all the worst reviews and they put it up in bold letters in front of a picture of Blake Lively in bed with some dude?
Yeah.
Genius.
Yeah,
genius marketing.
Uh-huh.
It's like... A horrible piece of work or something, the New York Post, and they just put it right up there, and it makes you want to watch the show more.
Extremely dangerous for your children.
Yeah, right. No redeeming value whatsoever. It's very, very
funny. That is how I know if I'm going to like it or not, is how much those people hate it.
That's my favorite show. I love it so much.
Oh, Gossip Girl is great.
Yes. Is Blake Lively still dating Penn Badgley?
Blake Lively's in that new Sorority of the Magic Shoes, right?
Yes.
Is that her new deal?
I think she is one of those.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't think they're magic shoes.
I think they are. They click their heels and they go back to...
Oh, you're confused.
Kansas. Something, don't they?
Speaking of the Loewens, or Lohans, depending on your pronunciation, Lindsay and Samantha Ronson, her lesbian girlfriend, now have matching tattoos.
Oh, that's cute.
Apparently, Samantha got an identical tattoo on her left hand that Lindsay has, that she originally got when she was dating a guy named Harry Morton.
So she got it for a dude?
Yeah, but she got it re-inked. So while they were there, Samantha got a matching tattoo. Meanwhile, Samantha has a cascading red star inked on her right arm, so Lindsay picked up a matching red star and put that on her right hand.
So they can play tattoo twister?
And Samantha put her left hand on the blue dot, and then Lindsay put the... right foot on the green dot, and everyone fell down and laughed.
Lindsay Loewen.
Not going to let Bean step my jokes anymore. I'm just going to do them anyway.
You have to.
I'm just going to reinforce my own jokes with him. Can't help myself. Eva Mendez is hot.
Yeah.
Told you yesterday that her Calvin Klein commercial has been banned from TV for being too nipply.
Hey. It's on the internet roundup, by the way.
Yes, it is.
Internet commercial.
And she's got quite a reputation as a party girl. In fact, she told the New York Post that Eva's mom freaked out after reading a tabloid story saying that Eva was in Miami drunk, naked, and hitting on a girl at a party. Eva called her mom and said, it's hilarious. That's all made up, mom. Wink, wink. That's what I tell my mom, too, about what I do. Oh, those people who tell stories that aren't true.
Oh, they make that up.
Those are crazy people. And I mentioned today... that Britney Spears was going to be starring in a new Quentin Tarantino movie.
Whore.
A remake of a 1965 cult B-movie called Faster, Pussycat, Kill, Kill. This may be the quickest retraction I've ever had to do.
What?
Her people just came forward today and said she is not appearing in Faster Pussycat Kill Kill. She will not be playing a murderous lesbian stripper.
We just found that out an hour ago.
I know, and turns out I was wrong.
Huh. That's probably good.
I apologize.
I mean, that's not going to make anyone want to go see it, right?
Wouldn't how great it is to see her kill a dude with her bare hands and be a lesbian stripper making out with girls?
Sure.
The greatest
Depends
thing
on
she
which
ever
one
did.
Shows up, dude. You know?
Well, she's looking pretty good these days.
Yeah.
If they hurry up and film it before she blows up again, we could be all right. You guys see Mad Men Sunday night?
No.
See the second episode of Mad Men?
Yes, it was awesome.
Best
episode ever. One of the greatest
ever.
Hours of television I've ever seen.
Oh, take it easy.
I'm not telling you. That show is just so rich. There's so much going on there and so many interesting characters, so many interesting storylines. By the end of the hour, I was like, that was incredible.
Yeah.
Definitely a high watermark for this show. Easily their best episode. And I think it's, as Ralph was saying at the beginning of the season, we've established who everybody is now, and now we can really start digging deep into how honked up everyone is.
It's disturbing on so many levels. It just, it's great. It's good stuff. Just saying, watch it. Just
great
freaking
acting.
Watch it.
Great acting, great scripts, some of the hottest chicks on television.
Yeah, and some of the hottest guys, too. That John Hamm.
He is. He's
John
dreamy.
Hamm's a man. He's
he
a
is.
Man.
Oh.
He's a ham, man ham. That's what he is. John.
Oh, yes.
John Hamm.
Do you want extra sausage? Oh, he is a bit of a throwback. He looks like a guy who would have been famous and popular in the 1950s and 60s.
He's a man.
Then I guess you won't be needing this sausage.
As I was watching
a clip
the episode,
from the show this past Sunday night.
I was saying, that dude should have been Batman, John Hamm.
He could do that.
He's like a badass man.
You have a problem with the guy that just made $400 million in 2 days?
He made it, but...
I saw it yesterday, Ralph.
For the first time.
So distracted. At the end, it didn't even sound like a person's voice.
Yeah,
it
couldn't make
electronic.
Out what he was saying. Tell me where he is.
And he kept having to breathe.
Gotham City
it
needs its savior. And the carry was going... What?
Huh?
Come again? Come again, Batman? I can't. I heard. All right, I got Dent. I got Harvey Dent. What was after that?
It's a little extreme.
But John Hamm's Batman would be awesome. Because he looks like Bruce Wayne. He just looks like.
He does. You know, you've been talking about this guy now for about
a
minute and a half.
You, I dig
watch
him.
The show.
I don't want to.
Dig him. Why don't you want to watch it? It's great.
It's
why
so good,
why don't you like
Kevin?
Good television?
Because he missed most of the first season and now
no,
he's stuck.
No, because it's about the 60s. Who cares?
It's not,
really,
about the
though.
60s.
It's set in the 60s.
It's about the people. In the 60s. That's all.
Do you see nothing that doesn't take place in
hey,
modern day?
Hey, why don't you all yell at me at the same time?
Kevin will only watch a show if it takes place in his house today.
This week.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
God.
It's not about the 60s. It's people who happen to live in the 60s, but it's the characters and their struggles with their families, with their wives, with their
careers,
people that they work with, careers,
yeah, parents.
It's got great stuff.
That's just not good.
Nothing important in American history happened in the 60s anyway.
True.
Not a landmark decade.
Yeah. Not like we came of age or anything.
Ralph, you know that American Airlines crash, that was kind of the backdrop of this week's episode. That's a true story. I mean, that really did happen.
That just happened.
Yeah, they based that on an actual incident, though.
This conversation just keeps getting better.
We imagine
honestly,
how they all would have reacted.
Honestly,
to that.
One of the things they had in the show actually happened. That's where you're going now?
How come our
one of the things happened?
How come our hookup with Kevin's mic never drops
come
out? Come on, Mike. Can't you arrange it some morning that Kevin's mic drops out for a couple hours?
Come on.
How come that never happens?
You're still talking about this. You know that. You know
TV
we're still on the air, right?
Was nominated for 17 Emmys this year.
That's bullshit.
That's a couple, right? That's a few people saying that's good work. The dude, the creator, was one of the main writers on The Sopranos.
I'm not asking you to not like it. I'm asking you to not recap it in real time.
But we're trying to figure out why, if all of us love it, you won't even watch it once.
I don't know. I don't have time. I'm very busy.
Oh, you say that all the time, and it's just not true.
It may not be, but...
It's not!
And then you go see Zohan at the movies.
I can't understand. Let's go watch a TV show.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Who cares? Well, David Duchovny's a pal.
Sure.
48 years old today. But Charlize Theron celebrates her 33rd birthday.
See, that's what I'm talking
and
about.
And we love her so much and just wish her the best of everything. She's already got the best of everything. You know what I'm saying?
She sure does. By the way, she was topless on this week's Mad Men, Kevin. Too bad you didn't see it.
Yeah, too bad.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Nobody got topless in the 60s.
Nice
Everyone
try.
Wore iron suits.
Nice try. I'm Ralph Garman. You wish. You wish you were Ralph
Garman. Wrap it up, dude.
I'm just frustrated with you.
I know, but it's not going
to
get any better.
It's hard to carry on.
It's not going to get any better.
Ralph Garman is...
One of our favorite guys in the world is in the studio with us right now. He is the spokesperson for the Consumer Electronics
Association.
Association. Thank you very much. Jim Berry joins us. The reason we love Jim is because he shows up with way cool electronic gadgets and never one time leaves one behind for us.
Yeah, how come you can't just leave one every once in a while?
Well, this is something. Pretty darn small. Maybe
this is one of those studios
on
where I have to search everyone before I leave,
kidding,
which can be fun, depending on who we're
searching.
He has a wand.
Right?
Yeah, there you go.
So, Jim, what primarily is your job doing? I mean, are you promoting, do you work for the people who make all these products and try to promote them to the press, or what do you actually,
I work for the association. I work for the Consumer Electronics Association. It's really educational. There's so much new stuff, and we're going to buy $170 billion worth of consumer electronics in the U.S. this year.
Wow.
So we buy a lot of this stuff. Typical household has 24 consumer electronics devices and spend about $1,500 on them each year. So at the same time, a lot of people say, I don't understand this. You know, how do I work this? Why do I need this? And all that. So my role is to try to, in English, explain some of this stuff to folks.
And they send you all the new stuff.
They do send me this stuff.
Well, how can I get that job?
I know. Unfortunately, I have to send it back.
That's
the hard part of it. Yes.
They don't even let you keep it?
No. I usually have to send them back. Occasionally, I get to keep a few things. But, of course, they're used, too. So if I really like them, I get a pretty good price on them. So that's
pretty good. Them here.
Bring them up a little bit.
And then this year, I've also been talking a lot about this transition to digital television, which is going to happen next February, where there'll be no more analog broadcasts of TV. So if you watch TV without a cable or satellite, if you still use rabbit ears or off the air, you're going to have to either get a TV or get one of these little converter boxes that you can hook up to your television.
We've been making fun of that campaign this week.
The $40 converter coupon.
Right.
We've been making fun of it because they run those commercials every hour on every channel all day long.
Right.
Tired of it. And our theory is that the number of people who don't have cable or satellite at this point has got to be pretty small, the number of people who are watching just over the air. Are we wrong about that?
You're not wrong. It's about 10 or 11% of households. So that does translate to 11 or 12 million households. So there are a significant number of people, and it depends on the part of the country. That's across the country.
All right, but let us ask you this question.
Yes.
Why then do we have to see commercials about it 50 times a day?
I know.
We have it.
I know. If you have it, well.
And we took calls from people. They say, we don't have it. We're perfectly aware. We still have 6 months to go. This is worse than the elections.
I know. Well, it is. There are a lot. I was on this type of program up in Portland, Maine recently, and one of the hosts said kind of the same thing you're saying. We see these commercials all the time.
Message received.
The little buzz, the crawl underneath the screen, the little widgets on the side of the screen. I'm very tired of it. On the other hand, she said, I still don't understand what I need to do. Now, most of us do know. If you have cable or satellite, not to worry.
Here's the way we figure it out.
Yes.
In February, if you can't watch TV, you'll search it out and
you'll
find it.
You'll figure it out. Right. If you wake up on February 18th, because February 17th is the day, if you wake up on February 18th and you want to watch Matt and Meredith or whoever you like to watch in the morning, Diane Sawyer, you'll say, where are they? And you'll figure it out.
Right. That's my point. So why do they have to beat us over the head with commercials every couple of seconds?
Well, part of it is they're required by the Federal Communications Commission, which you guys know something about, make sure that everyone knows. This is also involved. It's kind of an inside the beltway thing. It's something that's involved with technology, with the Federal Communications Commission, with Congress. You get all of those things together, it starts to get a little bit
unwieldy.
Yeah.
All right. So for the five listeners who just have rabbit ears and don't know what to do, they need some sort of a little converter dealio for their TV,
well,
right?
Well, unless they buy a new TV. Now, you can buy a digital television for less than $150. A lot of people are surprised to hear that. You mean I have to get an HD TV? No. You can get a digital TV, a nice 20-inch for $149. I've seen them in the stores. You can get some even less than that. So that's one choice. And if you buy a new TV, it's going to be digital. Our friends at the FCC require that every television have a digital tuner.
They're your friends. They're not our friends.
Yeah. And then if you can, you could hook up to cable or satellite. Most people who haven't, those few probably have some reason not to.
Right.
If not, go in the store, get one of these boxes. I've got one here in my bag. It's about the size of a cigar box.
Okay. And how much do those cost?
They cost between $45 and $60, the ones I've seen. Okay. Actually, $48 and $60. But, and you just unplug your antenna and then plug the antenna into this box and plug the box into your television. It's that
simple. Couldn't be simpler.
Simple.
And if you're poor, the government will subsidize it for you, right?
Anybody, the government will subsidize it. So you can go online. It's dtv2009.gov, dtv2009.gov, or call 888-388-2009 and fill out the form. In about a month, maybe less, you'll get two of these coupons. You can apply for two of them worth $40 each. I was in a store talking to a guy in Detroit recently. People come in with the coupon, swipe it, $40 off.
They so were these buying. Are costing you $15-$20 at
exactly.
the most.
Exactly. Yeah.
So what you're telling me is that I have to watch these commercials for a year. And when people decide to buy that, I also have to pay for that out of my taxes.
No, not necessarily, because they've already – what they're doing – the reason they're stopping the analog broadcasts – is because they're taking that part of the airwaves where the broadcasters were using, and they're doing two things with it. They're giving some of it to first responders, police, firemen, Homeland Security. The other part, they've auctioned off for new wireless services coming in the next few years. And they raised about $20 billion doing that, and the money for these coupons
fantastic.
Comes out of that program.
All
so,
right, that's good news.
So keep your wallet in your pocket.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We need to take a break. We barely got into anything that we want to talk about because we had to get that business out of the way, but now you know. Jim Berry is here. He's the spokesperson for CEA. When we come back, we're going to talk about pocket camcorders, and we're also going to ask your advice, Jim, especially here in the state of California with the new hands-free law for cell phone drivers now. We need to talk about this goddamn Bluetooth that sounds so crappy. You must be able to help us. We'll have that discussion
like
when we return on the
world-famous
K-Rock. Our friend Jim Berry is in the studio. He's the guy we go to when we have consumer electronics questions. And he, I can't imagine what it's like for you getting through an airport with that Santa Claus bag that you have full of electronics everywhere.
It can take a while. I ship a lot of this stuff, though. My friends at FedEx take care of me.
Oh.
I ship
Let's talk about a couple of the new things. Lisa was oohing and aahing over a tiny little laptop computer. What's this about,
right,
Jim?
This is the MSI Wind Notebook, and it's very light, like the breeze.
It's amazingly
light. It's got a 10-inch screen. It's 2.5 pounds. This is from a company called MicroStar.
2.5 pounds.
So it's very small, very light. It's got a 1.6 gigahertz processor. It's got a real, it's got one of those new Atom processors
from
Intel.
Does it fit a disk in it, or do you need an external one?
You do need an external.
I don't know. Because you can't, if it's 2.5 pounds, there's not a lot you can.
Right. There's no drive
put
in
it. Yeah.
Right. But it's got plenty of inputs and so forth. Mm-hmm. And it's the other great thing about it.
Yeah, what?
It's a $499. So less than $500. Yeah. So so prices are getting lower. They're getting smaller. A lot of people I travel a lot. I like light and small. And basically on the road, I do word processing and I get on the internet.
Right.
So
I have magazines that are thicker and heavier than that computer.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, especially come September, October, November, the magazines get bigger and bigger. So this is a trend. You're seeing prices get lower and you're getting smaller and lighter with a full size keyboard.
Speaking of smaller and lighter, tell me about is it the Mino pocket camcorder?
It's the Minnow, M-I-N-O, but pronounced Minnow. This one is tiny, tiny. This is from the company Pure Digital that started these little pocket-sized camcorders. They use flash memory. You can put up to an hour of video on it. Great for things like YouTube and so forth.
Oh, it has a USB plug right in.
It has a little pop-out USB connector, so you just plug it right into your computer. You can put up to an hour of video.
It's smaller than the iPhone is, Bean.
And then I have another one that's a little bigger. This one is from Kodak. And the neat thing about this one is this records on the little SD cards, memory cards. So this is like a bigger phone, a phone from a few years back. But this one records in high definition.
No kidding.
So this is an HD camcorder. Each of these is about $175 or so. So the prices are coming down. The important thing about these, the really interesting thing, is they're small and light enough that you'd have them with you. You'd put them in your pocket or your purse.
That's right.
So you'd get those moments. You know, there's just about nothing that is not videotaped anymore if you're outdoors.
Right.
And a few
are those
indoors.
Available now, Jim?
These
you
are
can
available.
Buy
the Kodak is coming out next month in September. It's called the ZI6.
I've seen some sex tapes that could use that higher quality of video camera. You know what I mean?
And the Minnow,
send it to Kim Kardashian.
There you go. And the Minnow is in the stores,
that
or you can get these things online. This is from Pure Digital. As a couple of other companies have these tiny camcorders that are easy enough, small enough, and in the YouTube generation and uploading videos, you want to send somebody off to somebody else or put it on your website.
Let me ask you about this, though. Those tiny little camcorders, it seems like people with big camcorders have trouble holding them still.
Yeah.
Are those tiny little ones? Is it impossible?
This one has a little image stabilization in those. But, yeah, that is always an issue.
It's a problem, right?
You know, with camcorders from the very beginning, you know, and in this part of the world, you guys know about making movies and television programs. You think about how steady those big cameras are that they use. And that's one of the important things making home videos. No matter what camcorder you use. I used to give clinics on this. Three things to remember. Watch the light. You almost can't have too much light. Think of them making a movie on the beach where they're putting lights out there.
Right.
So watch the light. Plan ahead if you can. So you don't have to write a script, but know that the birthday boy or girl's coming through that door. And the third thing is hold the darn thing steady.
Yeah. You otherwise, you'll make people sick.
If you can use a tripod, use it. If not, lean against a wall or something. Right. Hold the thing steady. You'll have much better videos no matter which camera you're using.
All right. In our remaining time, Jim, we are really having a problem since the new California no hands cell phone law went into effect with a lot of our callers to this show are using the Bluetooth.
Yeah.
And it doesn't sound, shall we say, broadcast quality sometimes. Is there a real difference in the in what's available that people are using for hands-free on their telephones?
Yeah, I don't know if it's all Bluetooth or wireless or whatever, but whatever they're using, it sounds like they're outside the car and they have the phone out there. I mean, you can barely understand what they're saying.
Well, some of those guys may actually be outside the car. But, well, a couple of things about that. The wireless technology, first of all, you're on a radio. It's a radio signal. Bluetooth is the short range, up to 30 feet, used mostly for hands-free headsets and in cars. The hands-free, the ones that go in your ear, it depends on both the phone and it depends on the on the headset.
Yeah.
And then more people, though, are going for the speaker phones. And
that's
you have the ones
that
go on your sun visor.
Right.
There's a lot of companies with it. And then I have one here that I brought into the studio that's from a company called Funkwerk, the chairman, Funkwerk. And this one comes with a little connector. It goes right in your cup holder.
Right.
So it's called the Ego Cup. So you put it right in the cup holder, and then you synchronize it. Depending on what phone you have, sometimes it has to search for that Bluetooth device and so forth. But you'll find with these speaker phones that it usually, it sounds like you're on a speaker phone, but a lot of the times the connections are a lot better than the
headsets. Our problem is that they sound like they're on the moon.
Yeah.
That's our problem. Is that literally.
Or they could be calling us from the moon for all we know.
Who are you talking to?
Way back off of it. It's just they sound terrible.
Well,
almost all of them.
Well, it depends on the device you have and the price ranges on these. You know, these are under $100, $50, $60, $70. You can get Bluetooth headsets for those for under $50. Some of them more like $100 to $125. And I think part of that may be kind of a you get what you pay for kind of deal.
And we're in a weird situation where we count on, you know, callers to sound so we can understand what they're saying.
Right.
So it bothers us more than most, I think.
Well, I always suggest that people, really, if you're you know, the hands-free thing is important, but really, if you're driving the car, you really shouldn't be talking on the phone. It really is a mind.
Oh, well, that doesn't help us.
Yeah, no.
This is Los Angeles, Jim.
They should pull over, or if they're parked in traffic, that would be all right.
Wireless just means people can apply makeup and eat at the same time and text.
Right. Well, you can do all of those things, and I've seen all kinds of strange things happening as you watch people in cars.
But you get what you pay for, basically.
Well, here's a good place to go on that subject, though, digitaldriver.org, digitaldriver.org, and they have a lot of info about all these different electronic devices we now have in our cars and how to use them more safely and responsibly.
That's a great tip. And you can check out Jim Barry's website at cesweb.org. That's Consumer Electronics Show, cesweb.org. His organization is the Consumer Electronics Association. Jim, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you a couple times a year with all the new stuff, man. We really appreciate you coming in.
Thanks, guys.
Leave some of it. Just leave
just
one.
Just little thing.
Just leave
a little.
Put that down.
Just
a little.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
The call is free at 1-800-520-1067. Plus, we pay you for your time. And today, it's with a pair of tickets to Championship Off-Road Racing, Saturday and Sunday, the 16th and 17th of August at the Fairflex in Pomona. For more information, go to www.corracing.com. That's corracing.com.
Now let's begin with the end of the world. Thomas in Huntington Beach, good morning.
Good morning. What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
What I do, baby boo?
Hi, Thomas. What's going on?
Hey, I'm calling to remind everybody that the end of the world is near.
Okay.
How near?
How near? Tonight at midnight Pacific.
And
the LHC, the Large Hadron Collider,
is going to be switched on in Switzerland.
Oh, that particle collider that's going to cause a huge black hole and swallow us all up into nothing.
That is correct.
That's tonight at midnight.
Tonight at midnight, yeah. If you believe in that kind of thing, get it done now, because at midnight, you're over.
We're Does it happen that quickly, or do we have time?
I don't know that we've timed black holes.
I mean, doesn't it start small and then open up? And
but it swallows stuff
time?
At a rate. Yeah, I know.
Why does the hole have to be black? That's what I want.
That's a great question,
why
Ralph.
The end of the world's coming because it's a black hole.
Why the hole got to be black?
That's not right.
Tom, I'm as excited about this as you are, and I know that there are a lot of people who really do believe that a black hole will be unleashed that will swallow the Earth and we'll all die. But I think I have seen this morning that it has been postponed. Now they are talking about doing it September, October, something like that. It will not happen today, I'm sorry to say.
Oh wow! I had the countdown page on my favorites, and I was checking it this morning. I thought it said it was going to be fired up in whatever 12 hours. Or
maybe they're just throwing us off the scent. Maybe they're going to do it tonight at midnight, and then we're all going to die.
Right. They've already done it.
Yeah, it's already swallowing up Europe,
isn't it?
Let's research that and find out more. But we had a guy. Swiss, on. Didn't we have a scientist
Germans,
guy on who?
French. Where is it?
It's in Switzerland. Oh. Didn't we have a guy on who we basically were trying to get him to admit to us that we were all likely to die, and he wouldn't say that?
He said it's possible, though.
Some scientists say it's going to happen.
It is
That's
possible
enough for me.
That we'll
One
die.
Guy says we're going to get a black hole. I say, all right, let's hold off on that until that guy's convinced. That's all.
Let's make sure we're all on the same page.
That's
not
how
dying.
I feel.
All right. Let's go to Mike in Costa Mesa. Good morning, Mike. Welcome to the Kevin and Bede Show.
What to do, nephew? What to do, baby boo?
What to do, Mike?
Hey,
what to do, citizen?
I was actually following up when you guys had that show about how K-Rock and Kevin and Bean has ruined your life. I called in Sam, the Armenian comedian, dropped it.
Sure. Got you fired?
Yeah, I got. Actually, after 2.5 months, I finally got fired for it. So
just now?
Yeah, just now. I actually had brought in a lawyer and was pleading my case to human resources about how it wasn't me. And
but you were listening to it on your computer?
Huh?
You were listening to it on your computer. Somebody else heard it. She
was all offended.
Or was that the one that you, is that the one that you told her she's going to like or whatever?
No. That was another caller.
A different one.
Yeah, that guy got fired right away.
Okay, right away.
I'm not following this conversation at all. I don't even know what any of you are talking about.
Sam got him fired.
We did a segment on the show about people. How our show ruined your life.
Okay,
and this
I
guy
that.
Was listening to our show, and Sam dropped the N-bomb, I guess, from our...
Remote.
Cinco de Mayo broadcast,
but that didn't go out over the air.
But he was listening at work on his screen.
Yeah, went out over the internet.
Oh.
And so it was loud and clear.
Okay.
And he got fired because of that. Wow, that sucks. Sorry.
Sorry, dude.
Our bad. Daniel in Los Angeles. Good morning.
What it do, nephew?
What it do,
baby boo?
What it do, Daniel?
I want to know what you guys think about Brett Favre moving to New York.
Brett Favre being a Jet. That is weird.
Yes. I think he has to move to New York because he's playing for the Jets.
You think he pretty much blew his chance at winning the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think the Jets are a 500 team, even with Brett Favre.
You don't think he can make any difference to the Jets and try to at least get them to playoff contention?
He will make a difference, but the AFC is just too hard. Too tough.
If Jets fans are happy.
They're over the moon.
Are they?
They got to be, yeah. And by the way, as somebody pointed out on our show yesterday, this isn't a guy who's hanging on at his age because he wants a ring. He already has a ring, so he really doesn't have anything to prove. He's done it all. It's just his own ego, I guess, that is forcing him to go back out there after he's already retired a bunch of times. But I would be pissed if I were a Green Bay Packers fan right now because it's a crappy way to end the association with Brett Favre. I'd rather he have ridden off into the sunset a hero like he did. But as a football fan, I'm excited to see what he does. It's a great story that I'm going to be eager to see how it plays out. Believe me, I'll be watching the next time the Jets play.
Yeah, true. Thank you for the call.
The Jets play the Eagles in preseason in a couple weeks. So I'm looking forward to that game. But here's the thing people have been saying is he's got to learn a brand new playbook, which is hard. He's got about a month to do that.
A month.
It's a different kind of system than he's used to. It's not the pure West Coast offense that he's used to. And the thing about Brett Favre is, if you remember two or three seasons ago, he was just an interception machine.
Yeah,
he
threw a lot.
Pick after pick after pick. So one offseason, they forced him to work out with a quarterback coach for the entire summer to get him in shape. And that was the season. That was last season. That was probably the last season.
He
so he was
really
markedly improved. But he hasn't worked out much at all this offseason. So a lot of people are speculating whether he's going to struggle in a new situation as well. So it'll be interesting.
Last season, they also forced him essentially to put in a lot more time in the tape room, you know, work nights and stuff like that. And apparently it helped his game a great deal. How much of a commitment does he have to do that again? I don't know. I guess we'll find out how hard he's willing to work.
Mangini's playbook supposedly is really complicated, too. I mean, in comparison to most. They say he's like a Belichick, you know, protege, and they're supposed to be completely complicated. So we'll see.
Plus, Mangini has a mangina.
Yes. He does. I've heard that's true.
Hey, can we talk to Christina real quick on line one? I don't know what this story is about, but it sounds like it may be exciting and controversial.
Hey, Christina.
Hey, guys. What to do?
What to do?
I don't know if you've seen the Verizon Wireless commercial where a guy sneaks into a junkyard and there are like pit bull guard dogs chasing him through the junkyard.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Well, Verizon agreed to pull the commercial because the Humane Society were complaining that the commercial stereotypes pit bulls as being really mean and aggressive.
Well, that's true. Pit bulls don't bite anybody.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Well, I mean, the commercial shows guard dogs that they're trained to guard the freaking junkyard. So how is that a stereotype? And then he goes back to the whole Snickers commercial thing. Why are these companies caving into these, like, outrageous complaints?
That's the right question to ask, Christina. Not why are people complaining, but why are the companies caring that people are complaining?
Right. I mean, people are, like, so outraged that they're, like, canceling their contracts with Verizon.
Well, there can't have been that many people doing that.
You mean canceling or complaining?
Yeah, canceling
or
complaining.
Their contract.
Now, this is a whole new world where there used to be a commercial and people would get upset because it's stereotyped pit bulls. And then they would complain. And everybody would go, okay, thanks a lot for that input. Now they're pulling the commercial. That's a very different thing. And you don't want to start that.
There used to be a different time, too, where people wouldn't give a rat's ass about a dog in a commercial because they had lives and things to do and children to raise and jobs to go to. And there were actual problems in the world.
That is true.
And the faulty logic in this example that Christina gives, though, is that who's watching the commercial and thinks that because those pit bulls that are being used as guard dogs in the commercial, all pit bulls are bad? Nobody's saying that. Those pit bulls are doing exactly what they're trained to do in the commercial.
Exactly.
Oh, dear God.
It's crazy.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Apparently, they should have been poodles. That would have worked.
That would have worked.
No, because then the poodle people would have gotten upset.
Yeah, but the poodle people you could ignore.
Yeah, you really
kick
can.
Kick their ass.
You know what I mean?
Just kick them around.
All right. Let's thank our special guests on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, Jim Barry, who just left, the CEA spokesperson. Go to cesweb.org for more. Also, thanks to actor Greg Grunberg for joining us. This is an event that Ralph told us about a few days ago. Greg was on to confirm that, Saturday night, the band from TV is going to be playing at the Autry National Center. That's over by Griffith Park, right next to the zoo. It's going to be Saturday night. His band goes on at around 7 o'clock. And it sounds like a really, really fun time. And the event is free to the public, brought to you by Netflix. After the rock and roll, they're going to then show some TV. What are they doing? Is this an outdoor on the big screen kind of thing, Ralph, they're doing?
And it's a tribute to TV. A classic TV show is now available on DVD. Of course, Netflix wants you to rent those from them. So it all ties in.
That's a pretty good deal. You can get more details on the event this Saturday night. Again, for free, perfect for families, through Netflix.com or bannedfromtv.org.
All right, tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show, Secrets You Regret Telling Anyone. We got that from an Afro call.
Okay.
Guy admitted to his friends that his wife and kids were out of town. He was flipping around the TV and stopped on the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. Not only watched it, but cried.
Yeah. That's something you want to keep to yourself.
Yeah. Also, Petros Papadakis will be here. We got the movie beat because it's Friday. We've got, I don't know if you've seen these stories out of China about the food. I know they stopped serving dog.
Yeah.
But penis is a big thing over there. They eat a lot of animal penis.
How ironic that penis is a big thing in Asia.
It is ironic. So the two headlines were, eating penis is overshadowing the opening ceremonies. And the second headline, I kid you not, was, should athletes eat penis?
Well, then I guess you won't be needing this sausage.
Well, I saw the post with Amanda Beard. She certainly should.
So that's tomorrow morning.
Hey, what about Tyson Gay? Well, we're at it. Come on.
And also the Foo Fighters Harley Davidson Grand Prize tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Cat Corbett's next. 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock. How about some Perfect Circle? Also MGMT, Green Day, Foo Fighters, Bob Marley, and more coming up straight ahead right after this on K-Rock.